Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the greatest thing on the internet, Radio FUBAR, with your hosts, Matt Reefer.
Sorry, I tried to spit roast your mom.
Pete Johnson.
Guys, come on. Can't we have one night without a hate crime?
And me, Mr. Producer.
It would be rude not to eat her pie, which I assume is not only hot, but also moist. Although, hopefully not flaky.
Kind of hoping Matt would show up on time, but he didn't, so I played the whole intro And he's still not here, but Pete's here. Hi, Pete.
Hello. Welcome to the Mr. Introduction Show.
Well, I heard a...
Let that intro ride. Holy crud. Yeah, you changed the gate big time.
Yeah, like I said, you got to be right on it and actually have a little bit of meat behind your voice or it's going to...
I feel like I'm going to get shocked.
Well, I did that because, you know, listening to the last few episodes, I had it turned down some, and Matt was echoing through both yours and my mic.
So the age-old problem.
Uh-huh. So I had to regate them. I mean, now I'm to the point where I can... And that doesn't even trigger either of yours.
Right.
So we should be better. The problem is that if you're if you come off the mic even just a little bit, you can hear I'm starting to already starting.
Yeah.
Now it's gone. So that's a foot away. This is the way we used to do it.
Well, yeah, I think it's because we still have the movie foo bar set up down here. I used to be over there, and Matt was on the far corner of the room. But since we're within 3 feet of each other now,
right? But I mean, he was even getting picked up on mine.
So he got louder time has gone on.
Yes. So anyway, I heard a rumor that that you applied for a job with the city.
Yes. Well, not this city, but a city.
East Moline. 911 dispatcher.
Yes.
If that's anything like what I had to go through a few years ago in Davenport, I wouldn't count on it.
I'm not counting on it. I'm just hopeful because...
I applied there a few years ago, and I figured, okay, you know, 3 or 4 people might apply for this job.
Right.
I went down because they had a test, like a pretest. You had to go down, and they showed a video with all kinds of different scenarios, and you had to write down how you would handle that particular scenario on the call.
Honestly, I was hoping to tap you for some of this information.
We actually signed non-disclosure agreements.
Oh, God dang it!
But
no, Mary said it was something about the psych test that...
Well, it's not a psych test. It's just a scenario test. They play like calls, you know, like actual 911 calls. And then it says, and now what would you do, A, B, C, or D? You know? And there was, I think, about 70 people that took this test for one job. I took it. And of the 70 people, 4 of us made it past that.
Crikey.
And then got an interview. So it's a hard test.
I'd be willing to try it considering the package, full-time employment.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was $40,000 is what Davenport was
going
to pay.
They're just going off hourly now, so there's even like overtime and everything to go
with
it.
That's what I mean, when you factor in all of that. And, oh, you're right, he did stop. The mics are re-gated.
Because you fuck shit up.
Yeah.
So you
listening to the last couple, remember how we used to have to be right on it and then I lowered the gate? Yeah. I had to turn them back up. So like right now, you're not even coming in.
Matt's in the room. We're not just talking to a ghost.
Right. Yeah, that far away, you're not even coming in.
What? Do you see how close I am and how loud I'm speaking? That's for me to break the gate open.
Yeah. I mean, you were echoing through my mic.
Yeah.
So
we already know that happens, though.
I know.
But the question is if he can do it again tonight.
Well,
do we just need new?
No, I can't do that. Yeah.
Right. But I mean, I had intentionally turned the gate down so we didn't necessarily have to be right on the mic, but it was getting echoey again. Especially because you guys are sitting right next to each other again.
Yeah.
But even then, you know, it'll bounce off the walls a little bit. And,
yeah.
You know, so we got to adjust for that too.
No, I figured when they said $22 an hour, there is going to be a rigorous screening process and qualifications process.
Well, the qualifications just can you type 40 words a minute and
I can do 70. Yeah.
And then pass that test, and then they'll call the people that make it through that test in for a live interview. And like I said, of 70 people that took it, 4 of us passed the...
Oh, nice.
You know what's crazy is actually when I'm doing the audio typing test, I'm up to like 120 words per minute. But the reading typing, I dip down to like 70, 80, and it sucks because that's the standard one everybody uses. And
it's
but that's not fair. That's not normally how you type.
Right, but that's going to happen, though, because you're having to read it and then type it, as opposed to when you're hearing it, you can...
Well, no, I mean, I'm still happy topping over the average of 60, but it's still like it doesn't feel fair. Right. But no, I saw $22 an hour, full-time employment and everything like that. I'm like, I'd be stupid not to try.
Right. I wouldn't.
The thing that's holding me back right now is I'm waiting for a copy of my diploma or high school transcript from correspondence school.
What's this place?
The East Moline dispatcher job.
Oh, shit.
It's a month. It's a minimum. Like, I'm looking at, like, the process and everything. It's probably a minimum just to get into, like, the final interview process.
Well, fuck.
There's testing, and you're the 911 dispatcher.
Hey, man.
Not only are you taking calls from people that are getting murdered and shit, but you have to be able to dispatch the emergency services to the person that's getting murdered and shit.
They're going to... if you get the job... They will teach you how to do all that shit.
Right. No, I know, but they want to make sure you're worth the time before even get to the point where they start training you.
You're right, yeah.
I don't mean to, you know, disparage it, but think of it like special forces. There's a pre-qualification before the
Yeah, you have to have this amount of...
They don't just grab the grunt off the rack and go, yeah, put them in the training.
Right,
it'll work.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So, no.
Well, best of luck to you.
Yeah, and a couple other job applications that went in, but other than that, that's the one that's like, oh god, if it happens, that'd be a sweet deal.
Yeah,
right. Like I said, it would be a fine job. Just don't stop looking. Stop applying for other stuff.
No, I have not. I learned
that one the hard way.
I'm not banking on one job. No,
I just thought it was funny because, like I said, 70 people took it, 4 people passed it. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
That's like Navy SEAL type attrition.
Right, yeah.
Pete's like, I was hoping I could get something. I'm like, no, they made us sign non-disclosure agreements when we took the test.
Yeah, I was hoping to get some inside information on what the process is. And, of course, they covered their bases. They don't want you to be prepared for it.
Well, right. We could, like I said, I can talk about, like, you're going to watch a video. They're going to give you scenarios. And you're going
to... Oh, did you actually take... Like
that. Yeah, over in Davenport.
Okay.
And... But it's the same company that does it all over the country.
Okay.
But I can't, like, get into specific. Well, first, I don't remember too many of them because this was 4 or 5 years ago when I did it. But, you know, it says you specifically can't talk about the scenario or the questions or something.
I gotcha.
But yeah, it's a rough test. I mean, they don't tell you what you got right or wrong. You know, you just found out if you passed when you go in for the interview. And they said, thank you. You're one of the 4 candidates that passed. And I'm like, I know how many people were in the room when we took the test. Oh, but so how was your week, Matt?
Oh, I stirred some shit up.
I knew you were going to bring it up. But
I was
surprised it came out this early in the show.
I was hoping you guys hadn't.
You almost might want to let Frank have a go at his story because he had a quick funny one.
No, go ahead. We got that.
No, this is a longer one.
This is
one.
A long story.
You're going to forget to mention your week by the time he's done telling his story.
My week was simple, Matt. My student quit Monday morning. So I'm 1 for 3. This guy quit to take another job.
What are you doing to him, Frank?
I didn't do anything. His wife was complaining that he was going to be gone all week.
Tell that bitch to shut up.
Whoa.
That's
Matt's
actually,
angry today. This is going to be good.
That's actually kind of what he said. But no. This job is going to pay me $20 an hour. You know, I'm like, yeah, but you know how 14-hour-a-day days work when you got to drive home at the end of that, and then get up early and come in, and then when you get home, you can't go right to sleep because your wife's going to say, we need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do that, and you're going to get like 3 hours of sleep a night. And you're going to work 6 to 7 nights, according to what you just said on this
place. Fuck all that.
So you're going to die.
Fuck all that. Nope. Nope.
Save up your money and quit in 20 years.
I'd much rather do your job, to be perfect.
Well, that's what I mean. I work 14 hours a day. But at least when I'm done, I live 10 feet away, or I drive 10 feet away from where I sleep.
Yeah. You know? And then you get up. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Fuck that. That's stupid.
Grain hauling.
Ugh.
And there's a lot of waiting, too.
Oh, one of the ADM truckers? Or
no, well, not ADM, but that kind of truck and all that. So
hopper trucks?
Uh-huh. So, you know, what you'll do is you'll go somewhere and you'll get a load of grain. And then you'll go somewhere to unload it, and you'll sit in line for anywhere between an hour and 4 hours to unload.
Oh, shit.
So have a lot of movies on your phone. You're getting paid to do a lot of nothing.
Yeah.
Yay.
Which sounds like fun until you do it a couple of days.
And then you're like, fuck this.
Yeah. Because when you're doing nothing, it just makes the day drag.
I have that same exact issue at work when we're slow. When we're slow, when calls come up. What's going on here? Hello? Okay, are we better now? Okay. When calls are slow at work, the reason why
I have a hard time gating you is because you have so much variation in the volume of your...
Sometimes you're loud as shit, and other times you're whisper talking.
Yeah.
Lean towards loud as shit.
Okay. I gotcha. But, yeah, when it's slow as shit at work, and we're just sitting there talking with each other, like, thankfully I have other people to talk to, because if I was there by myself, I don't know what the fuck I would do. I'd probably go nuts.
Probably.
Well, I already am nuts, but...
What do we want to talk about this week?
Oh, I'm going to tell you about what happened. So, what happened was I was eating down at Village Inn on State Street, right? And they had a unisex bathroom. So we have all that shit that came out with Target and the people who were boycotting Target because of their transgender bathroom policy, right? So I took a picture of this unisex bathroom, right? And I said, hey, look, it's one of those transgendered bathrooms. You guys gonna boycott this Village Inn too, right? And most of the people that were on there were varying degrees of agreement, except for one person. That, Frank, both you and I know, he was the person who ran the Dream Radio.
I wouldn't run into that so quick, because I don't think you covered how some people came in kind of firing from the hip that they were being judged. And it's like, no, you're... Look, the point we're making is who cares what genitals are in what bathroom. That's the point made in general here. Who should really care about that? And then some people made the response that the media tried to, well, my kid, blah, blah, blah. Like, do you really, are you in the back of Target and you send your 4-year-old kid to walk up to the front of the store to go to the bathroom completely alone? That kid's 20 times more likely to get kidnapped on his way to the bathroom
than to get fondled by some person in the bathroom. Yeah.
And the odds of kidnapping are not that high to begin with.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
And secondly, why are you sending your 4-year-old kid to walk across the store? You're going to be near that bathroom when you send your kid.
Same conversation we basically had, right? Mm-hmm.
Some common sense at play. Well, just for the folks at home, there's some common sense at play here that even if your kid's old enough to go in by themselves, you're going to be near the door.
I can sum this up really quick, everybody. No law ever written, ever, on its own, has changed human behavior.
Right.
Laws are written to punish behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Not to, by itself, change. The only way that this law could keep transgendered people out of a certain bathroom is that if they put a cop at the door... Yeah.
Which was a point that me and Pete both brought up.
That was the most liked comment I've ever gotten on Facebook. What was I up to, like 25?
25.
I'm like, holy shit, people agree with Pete Johnson completely once.
Yeah, and package check, everybody going in.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So I said, that's my first step when I go into a bathroom is kick the door on everything and inspect everyone's genitals. Some people do call me bathroom Hitler or stall door Stalin, but I think I'm providing a necessary public service.
Yeah, right. That was the comment that got like 25 fucking likes. That was
stall door Stalin was my favorite.
Yeah, that's pretty.
I think somebody said...
the Iron Curtain of the bathroom.
It's ironic that the same people saying that more gun laws won't change behavior are saying that this gun or that this law gun law I guess you could call it
yeah
that this law
gun will. And holster law
oh yeah no I'm not in moron
but it worked but that works both ways yeah, you know of exactly, course you yeah. know then we're sitting here saying you know hey you know this law is not going to change anything more or any more than more gun laws are mm-hmm. you know so
yeah it's correlation absolutely yeah
right it's Again, no law in and of itself has ever changed one piece of human behavior. It's punished after the fact.
Right, absolutely.
There's no such thing as a preemptive law unless, like I said, you have cops at every bathroom door checking packages.
Right, yeah.
Or you somehow restrict the rights of people before a choice is made.
And then we're starting to get into pre-crime and shit like that. Thought crime.
Well, right. Not pre-crime, but
unless you're going to have them wearing a scarlet tee around all day. Mm-hmm. That's about the only...
Right, yeah, exactly. That's the only fucking way you're going to figure it out. So
it's illegal to have a car over this horsepower because it's more deadly. Okay, that's absurd.
So it went back and forth for a while. It wasn't as it wasn't super aggressive until Johnny English popped in.
and when Matt says aggressive, I say fucking crazy.
Crazy.
Because we went to places I didn't know existed.
Have you ever met him?
Yes.
Twice.
Okay.
But everybody...
Have you ever done a radio show with him?
Yes.
People tried to explain to me how paranoid this guy is, and I had no fucking clue.
He's gotten worse.
Yeah, I know.
I'm starting to think there's some kind of pill he stopped taking.
I would imagine so.
Or switch to one type of pill.
Yeah. And he started yelling at me
I'm
about...
firing you for your own...
Yeah.
That's still my favorite.
Yeah, exactly. And...
He was right.
He was right.
But still,
yeah. The best part about it when I blasted him... I was like, Johnny, your opinion on this matter is completely irrelevant because you still think that 9/11 was an inside job and that the HAARP program exists and that chemtrails are a real thing. I was like, your fucking opinion on this shit shouldn't matter at all.
Well, the HAARP program does actually exist.
Right, but it's not an
but it's not what he thinks it is.
It's not nearly what the fuck he thinks it is. I agree with that, yeah. And he's like, well, you're just spouting out the shit that your corporate masters want. I was like, Johnny. You're a sheep, and I was like, Johnny, come on. No,
this is when you're going to be like, this is a minutia, I don't really want it. You're going to want to hear where he goes with this, because it just comes out of left field.
I know how he is.
So he accuses me of being not rooted in reality, because I play World of Warcraft. And I was like, first off, that's a fucking video game, Johnny. And I know that.
That's always...
Playing World of Warcraft doesn't alter my perception of reality.
Right, yeah.
Believing that 9/11 was an inside job or not believing it changes your perception of reality, Johnny. That's the difference here.
The,
cognitive dissonance.
Yeah. That's always the argument of the conspiracy theorist.
Oh, yeah.
Sheep.
He did call me a sheep, if I remember correctly, right?
If you don't believe exactly what he's telling you, it's automatically you're a sheep.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're in on it.
Right, yeah. It was entertaining.
And if they could give... If they could give me my this is my favorite thing. Anytime they post a link about anything, it's from conspiraciesrus.com.
Right.
He turned that World of Warcraft argument against Matt into a very personal argument.
Yeah.
Down to, like, you have fun playing in your fantasy world with your made-up friends. And then that's
also, you've automatically lost the fight when you make it personal. You can't win the fight on the merits of your argument.
Matt came out with an ad hominem with the whole 9/11 inside job thing. But the point was, Johnny's argument was amalgamated. Like, actually, Matt plays World of Warcraft with people he knows in real life and sees regularly, socially and professionally. He's not playing with fantasy friends. He's playing a game with his friends. So I don't really know where you're going with that, Johnny, the fantasy world thing, because there's obviously a partition in that sense that he's not just playing with made-up people or even people he's never met. These are people he can go and shake hands with a 5-minute drive. drink a beer with and talk about shit.
Yeah, no, Johnny, I...
You're doing a terrible job of defending Matt's honor. I'm like, I'm not here to defend Matt's honor. I just offered a point of conjecture, sir.
Well,
the point is he plays a video game. Like, actually, Matt has a full-time job, and he subcontracts as part of a part-time job. He has a very social life. He's an activist, a political activist. He works with collective bargaining agencies as part of that political activities. And, like, and he has, like, four different hobbies he engages with his friends and family. I think he's more of a real person than you are in many senses of the word.
And one that he enjoys by himself when nobody's watching.
Well, yeah.
Well, of course. I'm a man. I have a dick, and I enjoy touching it every
once in a while. If he could make money off of that, why wouldn't he?
Right, yeah.
Imagine if someone paid you a nickel every time you jerked off.
I think NAMBLA might give you a...
I'm not... Those guys are fucking weirdos.
And then... So, like, me and Pete just proceeded to unload on Johnny. And then one of my other friends... Her name
probably not the best choice of words after
that's
the...
That's fine. I don't give a fuck. One of my other friends, her name's Rachel, would just... Was completely savage.
Oh, she went ham. She went hard as a motherfucker on Johnny.
Yeah.
She went right to his Facebook post or Facebook page where apparently while Johnny was replying to us, was formulating passive aggressive posts about Matt to the public.
Yeah.
And she just kept posting them. Yeah. And it's like, oh God, dude, you're bad.
Yeah. I was, and everybody was like, my brother Nathan, very rarely posts on Facebook.
He came at me about World of Warcraft, and I'm like, I haven't played that game in over a year.
Yeah.
Go back to your dragons and your dice. I haven't played that game in over a year. What are you on, Johnny? What are you? Are you on time pills? What's going on here?
Yeah. My brother Nathan was like, this is all just a fucking joke. He was like, this guy's a joke.
I couldn't tell if he was talking about the topic itself or Johnny. It was
a little bit of both.
It was a meta rhetorical. Yeah. Okay.
Nathan is more of those people that's like, this is a stupid fucking argument. Like, he's that guy. He's the one that will not engage in it and just comment on the fact that it's like, why are you guys arguing about this stupid bullshit?
He's so much of a conspiracy theorist that his name does not show up on a Facebook search.
Well, let's actually have my profile set.
But I may have... usually it'll still show up and just not show you anything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he kept being obsessed with everybody's supposed distractions from reality. And the only thing I saw when I looked at his page was about conspiracy theories and vaping. And I'm like, okay, so you're literally obsessed with a drug. Like, you are actually obsessed with a drug, a stimulant. Like, distractions? I mean, you have 40 different posts about vapes, vape shops, vaporizer kits, megahertz and voltages and amperages and... That's not good, man.
It looks like he may have deleted all of his comments off of your thread.
They were buried. So if you see the comment thread that has like 90 replies.
Or he might have you blocked.
No, because I've seen his shit before.
Well, you might have. Well, yeah.
About when did he jump in?
If he just moused over Allie? No. Ashley.
Yeah, yeah.
It was on one of Ashley's comments that
Ashley
he really
Haven
jumped
Hill,
in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we'll keep talking about what you're talking about while I try to find...
Well, it was the absurdity of what came out of that man's mouth in relation to the topic. Like, the liberal foam, too.
Oh, dude, yeah, that was all you liberal... I was like, Johnny, I am a... Like, I prescribe to certain aspects of liberal thought, not all of it. Not the one that flips the logic in on itself to make it to abuse people. That's the side that I don't agree with.
Technically, Ashley Ramboed him with the first Republican remark.
Yeah.
She first blooded that situation.
Yeah,
she
drew
first blood, and he came out Rambo style. But he directed all of his hate on that comment.
Yeah.
To you.
Yeah.
Even though she made the comment.
She was the one that did it, yeah. And I was like, what in the Sam fucking hill?
That was the part I sat back. I'm like, I think he's confused that Matt is not named Ashley Haven now.
He's deleted him here because I just saw your one where it says, I'm not here to defend or for Matt's honor. And all of his are gone.
So he went back and deleted all the shit he said.
Yep.
Wonderful.
How many times has that happened with people we know?
A lot, actually. Well, I can only think of two times.
So he doesn't even have the courage,
To allow his ideas to sit out in the public sphere. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Remember what I told you in those messages?
Yeah.
I was...
Gonads are useful for their purpose, but they are no substitute for brain.
I wouldn't have bet on him removing those comments because he's a truther, but I wouldn't have put it outside the ballpark based on those comments I made to you.
Right, yeah.
Which was, as soon as the situation developed to friends in agreement on a topic generally, people that could get past differences and agree on some generalities of the subject... That and everybody kind of swarming around Matt without Matt having to actually come in and say anything, but like circling a wagon, so to speak, around Matt. His first response was to shut up and get out. And I'm like, yeah. That's how you deal with socially paranoid people.
That's actually kind of surprising for Matt. Usually his first response isn't to shut up and get out.
I think he was on shift at work.
I was at work.
Oh, okay.
So most of the people that came in swinging had free time. Or we're on break from work and shit like that. Matt eventually did come in firing back, but the point was, it's like, Johnny, you're outnumbered 10-1 here. You need
tactical retreat, man.
Facebook
either,
wars.
Yeah, either reword your argument or just chill out and leave. One of the two.
I wasn't
Why don't you check your phone, too, or check your account, too, see if...
Yeah.
Maybe he did go back and block me, but I've been seeing his stuff recently on my timeline.
See, I wouldn't put it past him because when Rachel posted those pictures of his Facebook post, he immediately blocked her.
Yeah.
So she couldn't see anymore and repost them.
Right, but I never
But it's the point, if you're gonna make these posts, you shouldn't be ashamed of it.
All right.
I want people to know I'm making passive aggressive. So why'd you fucking do it?
Yeah.
Oh man, here's one that you didn't see.
What's he say?
Point knife hands at everyone and keep calling me fucker.
Yeah. for those that don't look at my account, it's just a meme that says, I see veterans. They smell like whiskey and bacon. Point knife hands at everyone and keep calling me fucker.
Am I correct? That's knife hands?
Well... That's a lame imitation of it, but yeah.
Mm.
There's an entire emotion involved too. There's a
and that's getting yelled at by
or
yeah.
there's different emotions you can convey with knife hands.
That's when you're getting yelled at by your CO, right? Or just getting
anybody
yelled at.
That outranks.
Yeah.
Usually it's a drill instructor.
I love your response to that one dude, by the way. Well, if you weren't such a shitty human being, I would value your opinion. I'm like, I don't know who that guy is, but Matt just fucking flamethrowered his ass in public.
Every once in a while, I have really good ass.
Tom Wine win. That's just what I need. Tired and hungry from a day driving the family to our never-reaching destination, I pull into a village inn and have a plate of shitty food, and then proceed to take a leak, only to see a human in a dress with junk. Matt's response, well, Tom, if you weren't such a shitty person, I might actually respect your opinion.
If you weren't...
Hold
on. If you weren't breaking men bathroom rules, you would have never noticed that guy had...
Johnson said that!
I address
so
that.
Who's
like,
the asshole here?
It's bathroom code to begin with that men, you shouldn't be looking at other people's privates in the bathroom. So what does this law even do?
Yep. Oh, they're here.
Oh, no, Johnny's posts are on there. You are blocked.
Sometimes I am, sometimes I'm not. I think he's one of those.
So here's his first tie-in, his own comment. So you're a hero if you decide you want to pee with the ladies because you didn't get enough love at home.
I'm assuming he's referring to Caitlyn Jenner, if I remember correctly. Yeah.
But you're a moron if you choose not to shop at a particular store because they bow down to whiny-ass liberals. So remember, he started with the hate.
Yeah.
Got it. Typical liberal bullshit. Please, for the love of everything sacred, do not reproduce. Get a sex change and pee with the girls. Funny how people that are so smart supposedly can't get a job making minimum wage at best, yet they are so educated about science and biology. Just amazes me. That's why I'm at a point like, you know, Matt has a full-time, he has a full-time and a part-time job, and you're
yeah,
sitting here squawking about I'm not able to get a job.
What does that say? I can't read that.
Obi-Wan and Skywalker at Tatooine. Akbar, when the shields fell. Best episode of Star Trek.
It's my really, favorite.
It's my favorite.
It's one of my favorites, too.
I shouldn't say best objectively. It's my best episode of Star Trek.
Oh, I guess we're going to have that conversation one of these days, aren't we?
What?
Best and shittiest episodes of Star Trek.
I forgot Dawn Wood went ham in there, too. I don't even know who she is, but dang,
she used to work at AT&T. She's like one of the old school people.
Matt knows some savage females.
Well, look at him.
Or they triggered the mama bear instinct in him when he went after Matt, because they came out claws, tooth,
well, Matt
swinging.
Has that reaction, too.
That's because I try not... Like, I'm offensive, but it's... offensive to create conversation.
Even Piero came in. To be fair, Matt and Pete haven't been on WoW lately. He should have said a year, because it has been over a year.
Yeah.
I'm the only active member of the guild. It's very lonely. Which we figured out. This is completely beside the point, but before I forget, I was messaging him about something else, and he was asking about, like, the guild and everything. I remember that I passed leadership to you. He's like, oh, I don't really care. I'm like, well, if you want the guild, it's all yours. Just you got to convince Matt to find a way to log in and give it to you.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait, for once, I'm not responsible for the guild. Woo!
Yep. Oh, this is another highlight.
Is what presidents feel like when their terms are over. I don't give a shit. I left it to somebody else.
Some of the highlights from this is another one of our... me and Pete's favorite persons to converse with on Facebook, Christopher Hansen. Not that Christopher Hansen, but another one.
Is that the lawyer guy?
Yeah, that's the lawyer guy, yeah.
Oh, that's right. He came out strong against it.
Yeah. And he said, we need to label them XX and XY bathrooms because no matter how you feel, that can't be changed. On a related note, I tried to join the U.S. women's soccer team and they wouldn't let me because I was born a man. Boycott the Olympics. And I was like, and this is the part that
I didn't like your argument on this, by the way. I didn't want to pick it apart,
but that's exactly what it is, though. That, like, that's the whole point behind it, is that there is multiple aspects that go into what someone considers themselves, either male or female.
Watch your volume.
Which you have the biological aspect of what your genetic code says. And then we have the societal constructs that are erected around that particular genetics.
Uh-huh.
And to kind of explain the point that I'm making, why is blue considered a male color and why is pink considered a female color? That's a societal construct. And that's the aspect of these people's choices that are coming into play. That's they're choosing one versus the other based upon their thought processes and how they feel on that. That's my argument on that.
You don't have to be defensive about it. It's your argument.
Yeah, it is an argument, and that's actually truly how I feel about that.
But that's based on the conjecture of whether or not gender itself is a social construct.
Right, I am making
some
assumptions. That
someone, by the way they raise you, can turn you into a man or a woman in your mind. Which, one of the terms that comes up is tomboy.
Mm-hmm.
that person doesn't believe they have a penis or should have a penis. In fact, most of the time they feel like they're a woman and still want to have kids and stuff. It's just they're more prone to conduct that would typically be seen of boys, which then you have to get into the typical conduct of boys and how you right. identify the difference between. And it's like, well, is that the social construct? It's like, no, there is typical behavior.
Right.
Gender is a biological construct. It has numerous factors, some of them social, but it's not this only social thing.
Right.
Would be the nature of the argument.
That's what I'm trying to say. I'm not one of those people that wholly believes that gender is an entirely social generated construct. There's aspects of everything that flow into that that make it, that it have that.
The way I was approaching the argument, which Frank danced right into as soon as he met this situation, is, who, you really care if that guy's wearing a dress?
Yeah. No, I don't.
I know you don't, but it's like, you really care that that person's not using what you think is the right bathroom.
Yeah.
That's the worst thing about your day.
How does that affect your fucking life at all? Like, why does it affect your life?
And you feel you need laws to guarantee this for yourself, that your way is right.
Yeah.
The same way that you argue against gun laws because of blah, 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 and nature and shit. And it's like...
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. I was so frustrated. I was like, these people, man.
I mean, I guess it's a different form of the argument, but when somebody says, blah, 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 it's not, just because you say you're a girl doesn't mean you're a girl. It's like, what do you fucking care? You don't even use that bathroom. What bathroom do you use?
Uh-huh.
Like, what if you got diarrhea and all the stalls in the men's room are filled? Are you going to shit in the urinal or go step in the women's room? Well, now it is legally prohibited from you doing so.
Right. Yeah.
There's now, you can now be arrested for having diarrhea and having to go into the women's room.
Yeah.
You idiot. It's like,
I don't know.
It's a room you shit in.
That's it.
Well, not even, it's not that that's it. It's like you're making laws about a room where people go in to dispose of waste.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
Unless the law says it's illegal to shit on the walls, I don't give a shit about the shitty laws.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, no.
Keep filling. Are you still looking for shit to talk about? Or
You're doing fine. Keep going.
Okay.
Don't stop because I make a face. Just keep going.
Well, you go out and somebody's walking the dog in their yard. Is that a boy dog or a girl dog? I'm offended. That's a boy only yard. Like, what the fuck is this argument?
And Chris Chris brought up another argument, which was, I only have tags for bucks. How do I know that buck was
I shot that down so quick.
So did I. So I was like, if you could prove to, like, and I used my own argument to argue against it. I was like, if you could prove that the deer population has sentience and can make that kind of conscious decision, I would accept that your argument's correct. There's no proof of that whatsoever. So fuck off. You're an idiot. Yours was good too.
I can't even specifically remember what mine was, but it was, oh, yeah, you put a sign on a tree in the forest that said, no does, only bucks can pee on this tree. That's what you've actually done, motherfucker. You haven't done this thing about killing people in bathrooms. You're talking about where and when things that shit can shit.
Yeah.
The absurdity of it. Like, nope. you put feet out to, like, get deer on a path so you can predict them hunting, but you put a sign on that says, no crows, only deer, and the crows are supposed to, how are you going to enforce it? You're not going to be there 24 hours a day.
You what shoot the those fucking crows?
I'm going to hang cameras. Oh, and then you can go arrest the crows? What the fuck are you doing?
Right. Yeah. Get off my land.
I didn't mean to attract a doe. I don't have a doe tag. I only have buck tags. So I'm going to make does illegal in this part of the forest. I'm going to fuck you enforce it. Mm-hmm. Well, we tranked this female deer. We found her eating the corn that was only meant for bucks. And, we've relocated her to a special holding facility for deer that don't listen to fucking orders.
Fucking female deer, I swear.
It's a great use of DNR resources right there. That's what we should be concerned about.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, we need to build a wall to keep
and make the deer pay for it.
To keep to make the bathrooms great again. And we'll make Target pay for it.
We already have a wall.
The walls in Walmart? Yeah. Which you would assume Walmart would provide the walls, but no, the walls that will be in the Walmart bathrooms will be paid for by Target. We'll make them pay it. Because we know how many people, how many rapists Target sends to bathrooms. It's all rapists and car thieves.
I went to Donald Trump's website.
Okay.
Because I wanted to see, because you never hear about any of his ideas having any kind of thought behind them. As in, we're going to build a wall and make Mexico pay for it. How are you going to do it? I'm not going to tell you how I'm going to do it because, you know.
And then Vicente Fox is like, I'm not paying for that fucking wall.
Right, but you know what I mean?
He gives, specifically dropped the F-bomb in the global media against a presidential campaign.
Because he gives zero information on it. He just throws out what he wants to do and has no idea of how he's going to do it.
That's, right. You go ahead, build that fucking wall. I ain't paying for that shit.
That's fine because that's what politicians do, but occasionally they have to give you a little bit of what they're going to do.
Yeah.
The only way I've heard him talk about it, and I've had this thought, is we're going to intercept Western Union payments that people are sending to their families.
Or we're going to tariff the shit out of Mexico for the goods that they import.
So I went to his website.
Yeah.
And here,
yeah.
Here is what he has for positions. Pay for the wall, healthcare reform, U.S.-China trade reform, Veterans Administration reforms, tax reform, Second Amendment rights, and immigration reform. So let's just go through these.
This is really good. I actually read his shit. It's just stupid.
All right. The provision of the Patriot Act, Section 326, the, quote, know your customer, end quote, provision, compelling financial institutions to demand identity documents before opening accounts or conducting financial transaction, is a fundamental element of the outline below. This section authorized the executive branch to issue detailed regulations on the subject found on some, you can go to his thing if you want.
Did that say fundamental element or fundamental?
Fundamental.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's an easy decision for Mexico. Make a one-time payment of $5 to $10 billion to ensure that $24 billion continues to flow into their country year after year. There are several ways to compel Mexico to pay for the wall, including the following. Number one, on day one, promulgate a proposed rule amending this law to redefine applicable financial institutions to include money transfer companies like Western Union and redefine account to include wire transfers.
I love the word promulgate. It's one of those $50 words that means nothing.
Also,
he uses the best word.
I know.
Also, because he only has the best words. Also included in the proposed rule, a requirement that no alien may wire money outside of the United States unless the alien first provides a document establishing his lawful presence in the United States.
Don't you need a driver's license to issue money to the Western Union?
No. All you got to do is walk in, you hand them money, and say, I want to send it to this person. You need identification to pick it up.
Oh, okay.
But not to send it. On day two, Mexico will immediately protest. You think they're going to wait that long?
Yeah.
You already put the plan out. They're going to be protesting.
They're protesting before you promulgate it.
They receive approximately $24 billion a year in remittances from Mexican nationals working in the United States. The majority of that money comes from illegal aliens. It serves as de facto welfare for poor families in Mexico. There is no significant social safety net provided by the state of Mexico. On day three, tell Mexico that if the Mexican government will contribute the funds needed to the United States to pay for the wall, the Trump administration will not promulgate the final rule, and the regulation will not go into effect. Trade tariffs are enforcing of existing trade rules. There's no doubt that Mexico is engaging in unfair subsidy behavior that has eliminated thousands of U.S. jobs in which we are obliged to respond to. The impact of any tariff on the price of imports will be more than offset by the economic and income gains of increased production in the United States.
So what happens when Americans stop paying for the increased price of goods?
Exactly.
What happens to the economy in the United States when you raise the prices on all this shit?
In addition,
it'll be offset because more Americans are making more money.
What he's saying here is that if he makes it, he's trying to make it economically unfeasible for businesses to go overseas. And if they make it here, they can make it and sell it here for just as cheap, if not of a cheaper price, than they would pay.
Which, hilariously, that is a liberal stance on all of that.
No, which hilariously makes no sense, because that tariff price just gets tacked on to the price.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't cost
that company any money.
One more cent.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no, I know.
So. It might cost them a cent if sales go down.
Mm-hmm.
But for the actual production, transport, and sale of the thing, it doesn't cost the company anything extra.
Nope.
It's just a tack on to the price.
Does he understand how much shit is made in Mexico now?
I would assume, because his hats are made in Mexico.
Like fucking Maytag shit is made in Mexico. That's what happened to the Maytag plant here.
Mexico needs access to our markets more than the reverse. So we will have all the leverage and we'll win the negotiation. By definition, if you have a large trade deficit with a nation, it means you are selling far more, or they are selling far more to you than the reverse. Thus, they, not you, stand to lose from enforcing trade rules through tariffs, as has been done to save many U.S. industries in the past.
Or they don't have the fucking money to buy the shit you're selling them.
Well, that too. No, our biggest, the thing that he's not telling you here is that the main reason for the trade deficit that we've always had is we tend to export raw materials and import finished goods.
Right.
For the past 40 or 50 years, yeah.
Even before that.
Manufacturing was big in the 50s.
It was, but we still tended to export raw materials and import finished goods. That's just the way it's been. We've pretty much always ran a trade deficit, except during World War II.
Right, yep.
We're exporting a lot of finished goods during World War II. A lot of perishable goods. All right. Canceling visas. Immigration is a privilege, not a right. Mexico is totally dependent on the United States as a release valve for its own poverty. Our approvals of hundreds of thousands of visas to their nationals every year is one of the greatest leverage points. We also have leverage through business and tourist visas for important people in the Mexican economy. Keep in mind, the United States has already taken in 4 times more immigrants than any other country on the planet, producing lower wages and higher unemployment for our own citizens and recent migrants.
But that's a total number, though. Like, it's not per capita. It's just saying, it's not really a fair comparison to make that blanket statement that we've taken in 4 times as many as anybody. Like, but we have 80 times the space, you know, that other countries, like, per capita, England and Sweden and all those European countries that have the influx of Middle Eastern and African families and stuff like that have substantially less space to put those people in, so the per capita impacts them much more difficult.
They have plenty of space in Mexico, too, but they still keep coming here.
It's almost like it's unlivable down there.
Visa fees. Even a small increase in visa fees would pay for the wall. This includes fees on border crossing cards, of which more than 1 million are issued a year. The border crossing card is also one of the greatest sources of illegal immigration into the United States via overstays. Mexico is also the single largest recipient of U.S. green cards, which confer a path to U.S. citizenship. Again, We have the leverage, so Mexico will back down. Conclusion.
This is still under the premise that this wall is only going to cost $10 billion, right?
Yeah.
Which...
if it was only going to cost...
the last number I heard him actually say in public was 16.
Even that. Even if it would have only cost $20 billion, we would have already built the fucking thing.
Right.
Right.
And seeing how useless it fucking was.
$20 billion is a literal drop in the bucket. If they could literally build a wall for $20 billion, they would have done it already.
Right. Yeah, that's like half a fucking aircraft carrier. That's nothing. We got like 30 of those.
You're off on both accounts, but...
I don't give a shit.
It's actually about 4 aircraft carriers, and we have 12, not 30.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Aircraft carrier is actually only about $2 billion to build.
That's still 6 times as many Britain has.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And you figure you can put 96 planes on each carrier.
Mm-hmm. But we're not demanding Britain pay for our aircraft carriers because we're not idiots. It's
well, Britain doesn't use our aircraft carriers.
No, we do. That's exactly the point. We're expected to help NATO, or if a threat comes to Britain, we're expected to help them. If somebody flies a plane into that giant stupid Ferris wheel they have in the middle of their city, we're probably going to help them out.
I always thought that was funny. You know, somebody told me one time, like, yeah, you put 96 jets or 96 fighters on an aircraft carrier. And I'm like, really? Only 96? And then I thought about it for a minute, and I'm like...
that's a fuck ton.
No, I thought about it for a minute, and I said, that's more aircraft than 90% of the countries have in their entire...
right, yeah. And we can fucking move them from spot to spot.
Well, that's the whole reason for aircraft.
Right, I know that, but that's what I'm saying. We have more aircraft. But
like I said, when I first heard that, I'm like, really? Only 96?
What was the global strike capability goal? 16 hours?
Ish.
To get a carrier fleet where it needs to be.
Well, 24 hours, but you can.
Okay.
But you can do that because that's the reason why
carrier group. I use the right word.
But that's the reason why we usually have at least 4 of them just floating around.
Right. Well, yeah. I'm not. Yeah.
Conclusion: Mexico has taken advantage of us in another way as well. Gangs, drug traffickers, and cartels have freely exploited our open borders. This is actually true.
This is true.
And committed vast numbers of crimes inside the United States.
Yes.
The United States has borne the extraordinary daily cost of this criminal activity, including the cost of trials and incarcerations, not to mention the even greater human cost. We have the moral high ground here and all the leverage. It's time we use it in order to make America great again.
Oh, we got to get that in there.
The hats don't sell themselves, Matt.
I want to buy one of those hats.
Don't, because it goes to his campaign, you absurd human being.
I'm going to wait.
You got to remember, everybody, Donald Trump's always talking about how he's self-funding his campaign.
He's not.
No, here's what he did. You look at the bottom of his website, it says Donald J. Trump, Inc.
Yeah, created a corporation.
Which is, well, they have to set up a political fund.
Yeah.
And that's what pays all the bills. You are allowed to loan that fund money.
Right.
At an interest rate.
Right.
So he loaned his fund a shit ton of money, and all the donations that are coming in is just paying him back.
Right.
And he's even said it once during one speech. He said he might be the first political candidate to make money.
Running a campaign. Yeah.
Because he's loaning the campaign all of the money that it's spending and then charging the campaign like 6% interest on the money that he's loaned it. So.
Yeah.
Shrewd business move? Yes.
Yeah. I'm not disagreeing with that whatsoever. I agree with
you. If you got the money to do it. And the funny thing is that even if he doesn't get enough donations to cover it, it's a tax write-off at the end of the year.
Let me get this straight. We not only decided all these drugs were illegal, but decided marijuana was a narcotic substance or a controlled substance in the same class as narcotics.
Uh-huh.
Then was it Reagan declared a war on the drugs, which we are losing, and our best recompense for that, rather than ending the war on drugs, is to charge someone else to fight it. I got that right?
which makes sense if you can do it.
Or you could just, you know, start decriminalizing it to such an extreme extent and make the penalties less and, you know,
well, we've talked about
legalized weed and half the drug traffic across the border disappears, which means it needs actually, half as much enforcement on it.
Which is actually hilarious because of the five states that have legalized marijuana, it is actually cut in to the illegal production of marijuana
they're starting to lose money,
so they're shifting production from marijuana to other harder drugs that are still illegal and everywhere.
But consumption on those in the United States is not up we can reckon.
Pot's always been the number one.
Oh yeah,
they're trying to cover their losses by switching to coke and heroin.
Yeah,
but those are also shaky because nobody wants to do coke or heroin.
Yeah, but the difference there is that a pound of coke costs a shit ton more money than a pound of pot.
Right. You know? Yeah. No. It's in the terms of business shifting into a more profitable product, even if it's less overall.
Yeah, they don't have to sell as much of it.
Right. They don't have to sell as much to make it up. But to prove, for Pete's point, it is totally, absolutely happening with only the five states in the U.S. that have legalized it. Those five states have completely cut into the profits that the cartels are making, so they're shifting production into other more profitable products. It's fucking
crazy. But if there's less demand for that product, even if you are guaranteed to make more money off of selling a single pound of coke than a single pound of marijuana, how often do you sell a pound of cocaine?
That's fair.
Selling a pound of marijuana.
Oh, I agree with you.
Which is much more widely consumed, which means if you are going to try and make a profit, just like an American business, and you're switching to a more quality product or higher end product, you have to cut production.
Right.
Which means they don't have as many people employed, which means there's more people that used to make money from the cartels in Mexico by cutting cocaine, and now they're not going to be able to, even if they switch to cocaine.
Exactly.
Right, yeah. No, the problem, like,
those people are going to need jobs, and they're going to come to the United States to get those jobs, but we're going to build a wall to keep them out.
But at least those
rather
people,
than finding a way to
but at least those people are highly skilled in the manufacturing process, so they have skills. They're not unskilled labor.
Yeah, no, I'm chemists. Cool with that.
No, but what I'm getting at here is we have an opportunity by not legalizing all drugs, but ending the literal war on drugs.
No, we've had this discussion before, and my feeling on it always has been, we need to decriminalize the possession and use of drugs in general, any drug. You keep the sale of it illegal. You know, whatever drugs you decide that are going to be illegal to sell, that's fine, but they need to stop.
Well, that's
they need to stop going after the end user on those things. That's not the guy that's causing the problem.
That's the actual execution. I was saying in concept, what we have, what all these various plans about Mexico. Nobody's kicked around a plan to actually influence economic level change in Mexico. It's always reform the government. You know, we can't reform the government for the Mexicans. The Mexicans need to reform their government, and the best way to do that is get them addicted to American capitalism. As long as we keep using them as a tool of American capitalism, they're not going to get addicted to it.
We've tried that, and you kind of see it in Mexico City.
Right.
Because there's a shit ton of people in a very small space in Mexico City, so that works. In the northern half of the country, basically, is where all the cartels are. The cartels run that shit, and the government really has no presence.
Right. Right. I'm not saying we couldn't help them clean turf a little bit, but not under the guise that we're doing it now.
Right. So it's never taken foot or taken hold in those areas.
Yeah. Like, I want to see some fucking McDonald's and Starbucks and shit in northern Mexico. Like, get them addicted to the consumer products of America, and you're going to start seeing more people demand it down there.
And until you clear out the cartels, that's never going to happen. And Mexico's been trying for years. The problem was until about 10, 15 years ago, I think, the Mexican government was in on it with them.
Yeah.
And they were actually protecting the cartels. Not so much anymore. Now they're actually trying to get rid of them. They just don't have the resources. So we've been trying to help them out, but...
Well, I mean, you're getting the finities of what I was getting at, which is if we use some of our common sense up here to undermine some of the power the cartels have over that area, then right. The system can start to change, if not just not literally a copy of America, but it can influence change. But the first right. step is get it out of the stranglehold, because the cartels don't fight the authorities in Mexico. They pay them off.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, they're going to exchange some gunshots every once right. in a while when somebody stops paying well, off they, the they government.
They pay off the local governments.
Sure. Whatever.
The Mexican federal government is still actively trying to get rid of them.
Yeah. Well,
they are. Believe it or not, they are.
I choose not to.
They're just not getting a lot of support on the local side, so they can't find the fuckers.
Right.
It's the same problem we have in Iraq and Afghanistan. You're not getting a lot of help from the local guys, so you can't get the bigwigs.
So it's not just the threat of violence that the cartel is using to institute this reign of terror in northern Mexico.
That's
they're
part
using
of it.
Economic
exactly.
punching weight. All right, well, we can't exactly send American troops down to clean out northern Mexico. What are we really going to do? Let's undermine half of their power before we go try to scrub them out.
All right.
You're going to just glass-nose the shit out of the area, you know?
I think his argument here is that if you build the wall and they can no longer move their drugs from there to here and can't sell them, they'll lose power. That's what they're...
They'll fucking buy boats. You know, they got enough money, exactly. dude. They got as much money as you do, maybe more. They'll buy fucking boats. They'll buy airplanes. And I want to ask Donald Trump.
The funniest thing was they were catching submarines at one point.
Yeah.
And they dug tunnels.
They dug tunnels across.
You're going to see them develop a space program next, motherfucker. A wall's not going to stop them.
Yeah.
Exactly. Healthcare reform to make America great again.
Fucking China, man.
Since March of 2010, the American people have had to suffer under the incredible economic burden of the Affordable Care Act. I know what they were trying to do with the Affordable Care Act.
Right. It was a half measure.
It's a half measure.
It wasn't even a half measure.
Quarter measure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get the direction that they were trying to go, but I knew it was going to be trouble the second Nancy Pelosi came out for a 10,000-page piece of legislation and gave Congress about 18 hours to vote on it mm-hmm. because you need to pass it in order to see what's in it.
Yeah, that's fucked up. I agree. And I'm even one of those people that supports the Affordable Care Act because...
I don't support it in its current iteration.
Right. Neither do I. It's a watered-down piece of bullshit that didn't do what it was supposed to do.
You got
to
Abraham Lincoln this shit. You got to stack the shit out of the House and the Senate and shove that motherfucker, that universal health care through bill... over yeah. midnight, if that's what you want to do. You can't try to do this in the light of day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying you should agree with it. I'm saying if that's what you want to do, that's how you do it.
I do have a problem with the government. The reason why I don't want universal single-payer government-paid health care is that I have a problem with the government being in charge of that much of the economy. Healthcare is about 18% of the economy.
Okay.
In and of itself. And I don't want to make the government in charge of running that. I like the idea of leaving healthcare privatized. I like the idea of making healthcare affordable for those that need the help. I don't like at all how they tried to go about it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, let's put it this way. You can ask Pete, when you had to go and get...
That was surprisingly simple, actually.
Right. The process was simple. And it was even relatively affordable.
Yeah, the plan was pretty affordable for me and shit, too. It wasn't bad.
Because you're single and under 35.
Oh, that first year raped my ass, though.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're a single white male under 35 that or under 30 that smokes? Pay up. Wait, what?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of pregnant or there's a lot of single moms that need your health care. Mm. Okay, I guess this better pay off eventually. I guess it did, kind of.
Right. But you also ran into the problem of people like me who already had health care, mm-hmm. health insurance, and people like Matt who had health insurance through work.
Yep.
Over the last 6 years, my cost has skyrocketed in how much I'm paying for insurance.
Oh, and you're legally obliged to purchase it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you don't go to jail if you don't. But you pay regardless.
Oh, no, there's a trick behind that, too, and I'll get to that in a minute. But you know what I mean. Not like your premium, not your co-pays and stuff like that, but your premiums, how much you pay per month.
The thing is that I have the benefit of my health care was collectively bargained
before. But how much they're paying has gone up.
Right.
Your benefits have been decreased in order to keep your price the same. For a lot of people.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you specifically.
Yeah, no. Me personally, because my healthcare benefits are collectively bargained, those were locked in way before the ACA came into play. So, like, my price versus what I pay for and my services are all the same.
Right, but the amount that your company is paying...
Yes.
...has skyrocketed. You just don't see it because by your collective bargaining agreement...
They can't shove that cost down on us.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
A place like mine... Well, I can't use this one because I actually don't pay the premium, but I know how much the company pays per person, and it's gone up just in the 3 years that I've worked there. It's gone up from about, I think it was $11,000 per person per year to last year it was almost $16,000.
I agree.
There's a cost. Co-pays went up at the same time.
Yeah.
That's happened a lot. Plus, remember if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. Or if you like your insurance, you can keep your insurance. A lot of people lost their insurance. The biggest problem that this bill created is the 28-hour work week.
Yes. Right under full-time. Right under full-time so they don't have to provide benefits.
Exactly. Yeah. 28 or 29 hours, I believe, is considered full-time, and you have to give benefits. So a good chunk of the jobs that are being created nowadays are 20 hours a week, mm-hmm. part-time.
Yeah.
Which we saw coming. And even Tyson said it at ground. I was like, screw that. I'm just going to cut everybody's hours to 25 hours a week.
Yeah. And can you blame them? No, because they can still get
my
insurance.
Response was even, that's the stupidest thing I've ever seen written into a bill.
All right.
Yeah.
But here's the trick on you were talking about the penalty. The bill gives the IRS the ability to fine you if you don't get insurance.
Right.
They only gave the IRS the ability to take that fine out of any refund you may get. So if you don't get a refund, you don't have to pay the fine.
Right.
If you have finagled your taxes so that you don't owe and you don't pay every year, which some people try to do.
Yeah.
You don't pay a fine. And they can't come after you for it. The only way they can get it is out of a tax refund.
Mm-hmm.
Put it this way. There's only one candidate defending the Affordable Care Act, and it's Hillary Clinton. And nobody fucking likes her that has any common sense.
Right.
I don't trust her at all.
No one does. Well, let me phrase that. There
obviously
are
people trust her, or she's just really rigged the system.
Yeah.
You weren't politically savvy with the first go around.
No, I wasn't.
You were 7 years old
when her was first lady.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, no, I wasn't aware. I was aware that politics existed and that there was a president and that...
Right, but you were between 7 and 16 years old when she was around that. You didn't care about politics that...
Right when I started to get involved in politics was the 2000 election.
Right
when she was getting bounced... Right when her and Bill were getting bounced out, yeah.
I was 18 years old and had just finished infantry school when Clinton got elected, so I had to live through that shit.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
They're a bunch of shady motherfuckers.
Not even talking about Hillary's or Bill's dalliances.
Yeah.
Because
we're not even going to talk about his whole like getting a blowjob and that doesn't fucking matter. It's irrelevant.
It didn't have anything to do with how he ran the country as a president.
But fucking Whitewater.
Economically, he did a relatively decent job as the president.
Mm-hmm.
Militarily, he sucked balls. He really fucked the military over.
Warlords.
Huh?
Warlords. Goddamn Somalian warlords.
No, I mean the policies and
Black Hawk Down was one of the first things that happened under his. that starts the theme. That's all I'm saying. That starts the theme. Like, wait a minute.
he wasn't worse than Carter.
I agree with that.
But I mean, just in general, I mean, I'm not talking about even his operations, just how he handled the military in general, the big cutbacks right at the beginning of his terms, the reduction in force, you know, because, hey, thanks for doing that Desert Storm thing. We don't need you anymore.
Can't tell if you want to hit this landmine or you want to dance around it.
What?
The don't ask, don't tell policy.
I didn't really have a problem with it.
Okay, yeah.
I actually slightly predated Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Obviously, my first contract actually said in it, are you homosexual? Or I swear that I'm not homosexual and, you know, that kind of stuff. When I reenlisted, then they couldn't ask us that anymore. We couldn't ask you, but you can't tell us either, you know. Okay, I didn't... There were plenty of people that I knew in the military that... we thought might be gay,
mm-hmm.
but we didn't really care.
Yeah.
As long as they weren't...
grabbing your junk in the middle of the night and saying, let's go, big boy?
Not even that. Most guys were tactful enough to keep it out of eyesight. You know, if they were going to do something like that, they would go...
Fine, I'll say it. They weren't flaming away. Homosexuals.
Right.
They were not flamboyantly feminine homosexuals.
And most of us, I mean, when it first came out,
I got a super duper bead with this sniper rifle.
Right, because I will say that my thoughts on gay people in the military changed over time. When I first came in and Clinton started talking about don't ask, don't tell, my initial reaction was like most people in the Marines. No! You're going to let the gays in! No!
Can you imagine what he would do if he saw Shore Leave from Venture Brothers?
But you know what I mean? I don't want that guy in the foxhole with me, because, you know, we're at 18 years old, you're under the impression that everybody wants to fuck you.
Right.
You know, especially when
you're... because you want to fuck most things.
Especially when you're a Marine, you know. Right. Everybody wants to fuck me. I'm a Marine, you know. I don't want him to fuck me, you know.
Right, yeah.
But if, you know, but if he's gay, then he wants to fuck me, you know. No, that's not how it works. But but you learned over time, and then it evolved from that to maybe I kind of do want that guy to like my ass, because if we're in a foxhole together and he likes my ass, he's more willing to protect it.
Yeah.
To, I really don't care...
ooh, he's fucking.
Who you fuck.
Yeah. As long as you got my ass when I...
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't give a shit who
you're
banging.
If you're willing to take a bullet for me, I don't care who you want to give a shot to in the middle of the night. You know?
Exactly, yeah.
Or if you'll take a shot for me, I don't care who you give a shot
Raising.
To. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, no.
But you know, and that's
not only is he willing to take a shot in the chest, but he's willing to take a shot in the mouth too.
Right. I think that's how you should say it. If he's willing to take a shot in the chest, he should be more than happy to take one in the mouth.
Yeah. Well, there's the trick. If he's willing to take a shot in the chest for me, I don't care if he takes a shot in the mouth.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That doesn't pertain to anything that deals with me at all.
Right.
That's it. That's and it's like, yeah, no, absolutely.
But like I said, you know, that evolved over time. Yeah. Like I said, at 18 years old and, you know, hyper macho Marine, no, we don't want any gays here. No.
It's like the Battle of the Bulge. What do you mean their night vision isn't bad?
He said bulge.
Well, during the Battle of the Bulge, they were so shorthanded for infantrymen, they asked for 5,000 volunteers from the Negro supply trucks. And they got more than 5,000 volunteers. And then the combat reports came in. They're like, actually, we find them to be a little too aggressive, and they overextend a little bit, and they get caught out sometimes. But otherwise, they're fully combat capable, and we didn't really do that much combat training with them.
You know the biggest reason why the Germans hated the black guys during the Battle of the Bulge?
Because they didn't go to heaven if they got shot by them? Oh, that's just the Muslims. Go ahead.
They couldn't see them. They actually came out and said it. We don't like fighting these Negro troops. We cannot see them.
Right, I know. We had a definite tactical advantage we didn't exploit until the end.
Jimmy, don't smile. Why? The Krauts could see you.
It was... I just got up to that point in the book. There's actually kind of a funny quote in there I needed to show you too. It made me giggle. It's the combat story that I think Frank would have appreciated too. I'm not going to say it here, but it has to do with a tank on Omaha Beach and the Navy, and it was pretty fucking hysterical. Like, I actually audibly laughed when I read it out, and I'm like, because I didn't remember it from the first time I read that book. And but okay, yeah, so no, I don't want to say it doesn't matter that we don't remember the first Clinton administration, because Bill's not running.
No, he's
We're
not.
We're judging Hillary on Hillary, and we find her not only lacking but fucking sinister as shit.
Right. Yeah.
If Bill was trying to run again for anything, I would look at Bill's record on Bill's shit. No.
You see, that's what I'm getting to though, is that the thing about Bill's presidency is that even during the presidency, everybody assumed that Hillary was standing right there beside him.
No.
Well, I know. That's what people are assuming.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, basically helping him make... It was a co-presidency. That was the big thing that they talked about it the whole time. And the few times he let her... I was going to say the few times he let her speak. But the few times, you know, the things that she, you know, because first ladies have agendas just like presidents do.
They got projects.
Hers was health care. Failed miserably. But even when she started doing that, you saw the beginnings of the it's my way or the highway. Fuck you. You know, what you're seeing now from her.
Right.
Started to see it then.
Which fascinated me that she brought that up and that nobody even thought about it for 5 seconds.
Well, my funny thing is...
I don't know where he was when I was fighting for health care.
Literally right behind you.
Well, if he wasn't there, you lost that battle. So maybe he would have changed it if he was there. But he actually was there, and you thanked him for how much hard work he did. Yeah. And you admitted you still lost the battle. Here's the press conference where you admit you failed. Here's
the reason why I won't vote for her ever. Listen to me now. Ever. I don't care who the Republican candidate is. I'm not voting for Hillary.
Right.
I would rather not vote. She's been in charge of something twice in her life. Healthcare during Bill's administration failed miserably. And she was the Secretary of State for a few years. Remember the... I don't know if you remember. Well, Actually, you might. You were 15, 16 at the time when she was running against Obama in 2000.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
2000.
We were in our 20s, but yeah.
Yeah, okay.
That's where I voted for
Who
Obama.
Would you rather have take that 3 a.m. call? Remember that commercial?
Yep.
Well, she got the call at 3 a.m., failed miserably.
Right, yeah.
We have a dead ambassador to thank for it.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I did a little bit of research on that. And during her time as Secretary of State, we lost a lot of embassy officials to shit. It just wasn't as bad as Benghazi when it happened exactly. The first few times, so we didn't put two and two together. And true, a few of them happened during the Bush administration under Bush's Secretary of State, but the increase was over 10 times during her time that you would lose a Marine or part of the embassy staff or something right. like that. I mean, or two or three were killed in a car bomb.
And, I mean, you can look at anybody's
Well, I mean, Secretary comparing State, it to the rate that it lose, happened right. under Clinton's Secretary of State, Bush's Secretary of State, it's like,
right.
whoa, there is a...
But nobody since Carter had lost an actual ambassador.
Right. Oh, I agree. That's kind of the point, really.
You know...
At the first sign of legitimate trouble, you get him the fuck out, because...
He had been asking for months before that attack for more security because the ambassador is like, look.
Hold on. Let me turn my fucking phone around so you can see the people right. outside. Get me the fuck out of here.
Even before that, you know, like I said, months before the Benghazi attacks.
That's what I'm saying.
It was, you know, but of course, as soon as Benghazi started happening, remember it was that video that 11 people had seen on
right,
YouTube
yeah.
at that time. But even then, she failed, you know, even if you don't even worry about that, if you just worry about the fact that he had asked for security or extra security many times and it was turned down every time. Well, they didn't make it all the way to her desk. Well, why the fuck didn't it?
Well, right.
Well, it yeah. doesn't matter. It didn't make it to her desk. Yes, but she was in charge of the organization, so she set up your plans, policies, and procedures. So if it didn't make it to her desk, it's her fault anyway.
Right, yeah.
Did you ever see that movie with Sam Jackson and Tommy Lee Jones in it called Rules of Engagement?
Rules of Engagement, but yeah. I've seen it.
I thought I said Rules of Engagement.
Oh, I thought you said end. But yeah, I've seen the movie. Yeah.
Okay. I had no follow-up point other than just making sure you'd seen that movie, yeah, and if I've not, that was going to go on a list of, hey, this is actually one Pete saw that was pretty cool.
Right. But... You know, her plans,
that
procedures...
That might be a watch it project for Matt, actually. Right.
If her plans, procedures, and policies said, we have an ambassador in what was a war zone 6 months prior, asking for more security, and your procedures and policies say, nah.
It's the opposite of Melissa Click.
Yeah. You need to stay. Yeah. So. You need to get out. I love that chick.
You're not welcome here.
So regardless.
Yeah.
It didn't make it to her desk. It doesn't matter. It was under her watch.
Mm-hmm.
So if it didn't make it to her desk, it didn't make it to her desk because her plan said, nah, that's not important. It didn't need to
right, yeah.
come all the way up to my level.
Absolutely.
Yeah, let's put her in charge.
Nope.
She's even gone out more pandering to the feminist vote. If I become president, half my cabinet's going to be women.
Are these women qualified to do
exactly.
the job?
Exactly. Are they going to be women just because they're women, or are they going to be...
She must have stole those binders.
Or are they going to be the most qualified person for the job? Because we saw what happened when Obama put a token woman into the Secretary of State's office, didn't we? Oh, I just said it.
That was also dealing with a political rival, too, saying...
It was.
Yeah, that there was multiple aspects.
But how big of a deal was it when we made...
Oh, it was huge. It was fucking huge. It was a dumb fucking decision to do that.
Look, Bill Clinton was smart enough to say any other woman but Hillary. Maybe we should too. No, too soon?
No.
I just have, and this is hard to say, I have more respect from Donald Trump, for Donald Trump, who is not pretending to be not a millionaire.
Right. I mean,
he's not hiding his wealth. He is stating he's a millionaire. He's stating he's rich. Right. He's stating he's a businessman. I have full respect for he's not trying to pretend that he is the common man.
Right. I mean,
that guy is in gold fucking jacuzzis with champagne in it, and he doesn't give a shit if you know.
Remember we talked about this.
But she is pretending she didn't bank $3 million last year in speaking fees, engagements, and investments and shit.
Remember,
it's like, horseshit.
Hold on. Remember we were talking about this a couple of months ago, where I said, I might not agree with 90% of the stuff that Bernie says, but at least I get the feeling from him that he believes
in what
he's saying.
Right, yeah.
So I appreciate the honesty of the convictions, at least, you know, Hillary... Yeah. Is the typical, I'm going to say whatever the fuck I need to say.
To be elected, yeah.
Right. I don't know if you saw that picture that I posted, did you?
Nah, which one?
Now, the one where it was Gollum's face superimposed on hers?
Yeah.
Give me the presidency's precious. Right. I want it. Right.
Now, at least Trump.
Hillary.
At least.
Or the other way.
Clinton. At least while Trump is saying some outlandish shit sometimes, the personality, the bravado, and the stuff like that,
that's
actually him.
That's Donald Trump, and we know
he's
that.
He's not doing an act there. Some of the shit he's saying, I think,
is fucking ridiculous.
Because this is the one thing I can't stand about Trump. Oh, well, once we get into the general election, then you'll start seeing me be more presidential.
Why?
No,
that's not how
it works.
If you're saying your way can work, stay true to it. Don't fucking back out. Don't become what you hate. I can't believe I'm encouraging him to be an intolerant asshole. But if that's who you are, be it. Goddamn it,
be an intolerant. Own the fact that you're an intolerant fuckwad.
Yeah,
just do it.
He doesn't want to be associated with the KKK, but at least they still march, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Granted, it's in hoods, but at least they still go out there and march around in their hoods. In a time where everyone knows they're evil little assholes,
shitbags,
they still go out and march.
Because they believe that their ideas are correct, and they try to push them out there.
Right. Yeah, again, it's one of those, just what I said about Trump. I'm like, they say some outlandish shit.
Some crazy shit, yeah.
But at least I think most of them actually believe what the fuck they're saying.
And they're not lying about the fact that they believe it. They're not trying to assume.
No, some of them do, because if they weren't, then they wouldn't need the masks.
True.
It's just her stance on the ACA seems like a person that drilled holes in their boats is bailing the water out, saying they can make the holes work. When you either need to scrap the boat or build an, or yeah, just basically scrap the boat. The boat.
Get rid of the boat.
Get rid of the boat. The boat's not worth saving.
Yeah.
Right. It used to hold water. Now it doesn't.
Yeah.
Hold itself in water.
Well, plus I've never liked the idea of the federal government telling me that I had to buy a product.
No, I completely disagree with it on that point. That is the dump that, like I said, that the 28-hour thing combined into it.
Yeah, no, there's a whole lot of aspects of it.
And then they ruled it's constitutional. I'm like, how is that constitutional?
Yeah. So wait, the federal government can tell me that I have to buy from a private company their product.
Well, that was a half measure to make sure the Republicans agreed with it.
And Pete
that's
said
that's what it was.
And like Pete said, how did that get ruled constitutional?
Oh, yeah, no, I totally agree with that. When you look at that, you look at it from the perspective of they would have went with the single-payer system, the Republicans would have never... It's a fucking half measure. That's, as you said, well, it's a quarter measure to get it passed.
Really, it just seemed really ironic that the one party that seemed to hate universal health care and the idea of it, because it made the government a competitor in the free market, was okay passing... I'm saying that word, okay, in particular, with passing a bill that guaranteed sales by the federal government, which is the opposite end of the spectrum. And it's like, so what's your real stance on this issue? The government has to force American consumerism?
I think they would have been better off just saying, we're creating a new program. We are going to subsidize private insurance. If you choose to get insurance and you make below this amount, we're going to subsidize it. Rather than forcing you to buy it and subsidizing it later.
The Republicans would have never passed that because then the government is involved directly into...
Well, they already do that anyway.
I agree with you. I agree with you, but their stance on that would have came into play and they would not have agreed to that because the government is directly involved in the subsidy of that. We're providing government handouts at that point in time. That's the logic that they would have shoved out. And I'm like, you guys are already... Right. And I would have been one of those people...
But then, you see, but the problem we run into now is remember the big problem we had with the exchanges.
Mm-hmm.
You're starting to see, well, you've already seen it, but you're starting to see the bigger insurance companies say, we're out.
Yeah.
We can't afford this. You know, we're done.
No, it was top to bottom a bullshit.
It was watered down nonsense that no one was
happy
with.
I hate that phrase, watered down. It wasn't watered down. It was a piece of shit. Watered down means... that it started out as something good and got diluted to something. It never started out as anything good.
It started out with President Obama teasing universal health care.
Right.
And then when it came into being, it was that nonsense.
But I don't like the idea of universal health care.
It was watered down
either.
Diarrhea then.
Right. It was shit from the beginning.
It was watery shit to begin with. And then it got watered down even more in the process. Why is my water brown? Because someone's shitting in it a while ago.
The reason why I say watered down is because it was...
Don't say that. That gives credibility to homeopathy.
It was presented as Pete said, it was presented as universal healthcare, which you might not agree with. I absolutely do because there are a lot of good things that come from that. In regards to cost.
Yeah, 6 to 12 month waiting periods for basic tests. That's what comes from. When you get into universal health care, all of a sudden the government realizes we really can't afford this at the level we promised, so we're going to have to start rationing it. It's happened everywhere that they've come up with a universal health care system.
Right. And I understand that. I absolutely understand that. The reason why I say watered down is because that's what was promised, and we got the ACA, which is a half measure from that. That's my point.
What I think is kind of crazy is that there's two ends to the spectrum, the universal single-payer system and everything like that, and then there's a privatized market. And in one particular country, it really people don't like to use as an example because it defeats a lot of arguments, is that in Sweden, where they declared universal health care, now, roughly about 20 to 30% of their population uses private insurance, and they've seen a dramatic improvement of quality of healthcare, both for the people that are on the private system, but also the people that have to make use of the government provided option of the single payer system within that country. Now there's a happy balance of the people that can afford,
which is exactly
primo champagne healthcare.
And Sweden also has paid college.
Non sequitur.
I know.
I'm talking about healthcare.
Right. I'm just saying they also have that. But in order to pay for all of these social programs, the income tax rate in Sweden is, if you paid how much do you make before taxes in 2 weeks?
In 2 weeks?
Well, you get paid every 2 weeks, right?
Yeah. $1,200 or $1,300.
That's before anything comes out.
Yeah.
$1,200-$1,300 under the Swedish tax system in order to pay for all that kind of stuff, you would bring home about $350 a week or every 2 weeks.
Well, that's tax mongering. If you hate taxes, you're going to hate taxes until they're gone, but taxes never go away. Death and taxes.
That's fine. But the problem that you run into with those kind of laws is everybody will come out with the law and say, we're going to pay for all of this, but they won't tell you how they're going to pay for all of this. They're like Bernie will come out and say free health care and free college. That's fine. How are you going to pay for it? I know he has plans. I'm not getting into what he's saying. I'm getting into what the people are saying. Okay. Yeah, that sounds like a good idea because I want free this. I want free that. I want free everything.
Well,
okay. Have you bothered to look at how he's going to pay for it?
Well, what I was addressing was the point of like the quality of healthcare versus the private system and everything,
right.
And what's come into fruition from that in one particular country
is a fusion.
Is a fusion of the system where the 60% that are low middle class or middle class and lower can still get the basic healthcare they need to make it through the year of their life, right. And live okay and pay those taxes. But
also the problem that you run into there is economics of scale. Sweden only has about 12 million people in their entire country, as opposed to we've got 350 to 400 million somewhere.
But I'm not saying you're extrapolating something that I'm not saying out of this, which is what a point that I had to that person that was a libertarian today, is that it's not that either concept is the right option. It's why is no other concept being discussed or borrowing and picking options from the same thing?
Well, that's how you get the Affordable Care Act.
No, Affordable Care Act is not a fusion of those two systems or them coexisting. This is a let's rape it and leave it bloody in the alley and call it we did something great today. It's
The funny thing.
Let's fix the prices and change hours of minimum wage employees. And no, that has nothing to do with fucking healthcare. That's an abomination.
Right. The other problem that you run into is a lot of doctors under Medicare, because I'm using Medicare as an example because it is government funded insurance.
Yep.
is really what it is. Every year, it seems, the amount of money that doctors get for Medicare services go down every, because they have to, because there's more older people in a set amount of money getting paid out in Medicare. So, every year the government comes out and says, okay, for this service, we're only going to pay you this much. And, they come out with this list every year, and every year it goes down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's fine. Eventually doctors, and this happens, I know our doctor specifically doesn't take Medicare patients. He still has that option,
mm-hmm.
but he can't do it because he can't afford it anymore. He has a couple of doctors in his practice that do exclusively Medicare patients, but they also see a fuck ton of them to be able to make money. So he gets 2 minutes with this guy, 2 minutes with this guy, 2 minutes with this guy.
Okay. I don't need a half hour conversation for the shit that's growing on my ass. I just want to get rid of it.
Right. But I mean, there's been a lot of people.
Send me to go get that $700 fucking cream from the drugstore down the street.
Right.
We'll talk about this if it comes up again,
Insurance itself has also raised the price of healthcare.
Sure.
Because the people that have insurance subsidize the people that don't. Because if you go to an emergency room, you're going to get treated.
Right.
Regardless.
Yes.
They're not going to turn you away. You're at least going to get a basic level of service.
Right.
But somebody's got to pay for that.
Right.
And what they do is, for those of us that have insurance, when I had my back surgery, this is fun. I love this number. I had my back surgery. I don't know. Did you get all your bills yet from your...
Yep.
Let's see how they compare. I had a discectomy where it was actually I had to stay one night.
Mm-hmm.
So I had the surgery one morning and I left the hospital the next morning. $26,000.
I'll do you one. It's not the same amount of money, but it's less invasive surgery, right? So when they went in and repaired my thumb, right?
Right.
I was down for 15 minutes. Well, they opened the thing that I already sliced my thumb open for and repaired the tendon,
uh-huh.
and then sewed it back up. Do you know how much that fucking cost? $12,000 uh-huh. was what that fucking surgery cost to repair my fucking torn, severed tendon
yep.
that I had already cut open my fucking self.
Because, I've asked my doctor this, too.
It's half the cost of your back fucking surgery.
I had surgery involving my internal organs, and it was only $1,700.
Yeah.
Suckers.
I was in and out in one day. That doctor was really nice. Surgeon was really comfortable. It was about a 15-minute conversation where he examined me in the room after the diagnosis from the ultrasound in the ER. And
well, that was an outpatient surgery as opposed to, you know, mine.
For a moment, I felt like it was a libertarian paradise and that doctor was McDonald's because of how fast I got served and taken care of for such a low price. And you know what? If there was a healthcare system that could guarantee that for everyone in America, why would you be against it?
And this was the University of Iowa Hospital.
You so would was mine. Think
they would be cheaper.
So was mine, the University of Iowa.
But you would the think? University of Iowa Hospital is really the only decent hospital in Iowa.
It's not like Barber College.
Right.
But you can't go in there to get your $2 haircut. You got to.
Right. I mean, when you live in Iowa and you think, I need to have a rather complex surgery done, you think University of Iowa. You know, there's not a whole lot of other, at least in the eastern half of Iowa, from Des Moines over this way.
Yeah. The reason why I got referred to the University of Iowa is because of the fact it was in a finger. They wanted to make sure that there was a specialist that specifically worked with that type of injury.
Right. And that's why with mine, I actually had to go to a neurosurgeon instead of a osteopathic surgeon because it involved the spinal cord.
Yeah.
Instead of just the disc, because the disc had actually blown out and was going halfway up, so he was going to have to reach in there and try to grab that without grabbing the spinal cord.
Yeah, you got to really control these gestures.
Pull
Frank.
It out. Yeah,
you got to reach up and hurry.
Yeah, you got to get.
You make
that.
It sound like you just stuck a hand up your asshole and ripped out your blown out disc in your back.
Well, the cool thing too. Well, the other reason probably why it was so expensive is it was the micro discectomy.
Mm-hmm.
Which
so they didn't even open you up.
No, they open you up. Well, they open you up, but it's only about
about that much. Right. Yeah,
and what they do is they take a tube that's about a foot and a half long.
Mm-hmm.
They cut an inch and a half hole, and then they put this tube in there, and then they take another tube and slide it over there, and then just slowly spread it open to about that wide, and then they work with those little itty bitty tools down there with the camera up there like this. Mm-hmm. You know, that's how they do it.
You're hitting a lot of points. Like, I don't want to try to pull away from your surgery, but back to that point, because you're making one about the cost and everything associated with it, is there's a number of factors that need to be considered, addressed, or reformed. Any of the combination of the three in the healthcare system in the United States and possibly the world before you can create any type of sweeping legislation to reform it. Another thing is the malpractice suits, which I know we've talked about on this show before.
Well, the point that I was getting to is when I got the bills, now I had insurance.
Okay.
So it ended up costing me out of pocket $2,000. But when I went in for my follow-up with the neurosurgeon, I showed him all the bills and I said, "Now how much would this have cost if I paid cash?" He goes, "Probably about $8,000.
Yeah.
We gouged the shit out of the insurance companies to pay for all the people that don't have insurance.
Yeah. And, I mean, you can say what you want, but in the legal system.
I said it was pretty pathetic that the doctor actually admitted that. And I was anyway, but yeah.
Well,
yeah, the tort reform is what you're talking about.
Well, I mean, just malpractice suits in general, part of the reason that so many of those bullshit cases where even a common sense person goes in, that wasn't malpractice. Why did the jury grant that money? Is a perception that doctors and hospitals are fucking loaded. So if something gets fucked up minorly in a surgery, you pay for it. Damn it.
Yeah.
We're paying you millions of dollars a year just to put fingers up our assholes. You're going to pay for this. There's a lot of things that me fucking changed.
I asked my regular doctor. Well, your doctor.
Yep.
I asked him how much one day, you know, we're just bullshitting. I said, "How much do you pay for malpractice insurance?" He goes, "I pay more for malpractice insurance than I do to pay for all my nurses."
Right. Right.
I'm like, really?
Right.
Wow.
And, I mean, legislation can solve that one way, but then it's just going to give lawyers more room to play around in the courtroom, in my opinion. But either way it goes, I think big part of it is changing public perception on doctors. They're not voodoo shamans you pay billions of dollars to shake rattles over your head. They're trained professionals that try to do a job as best they can, and they deserve some fair consideration, not in compensation, fair consideration if they fuck up.
oh, he mishandled the scalpel for a microsecond and you can't quite feel part of your eyebrow anymore. Big fucking whoop. Did you keep track of your eyebrows before the surgery?
Right.
Yeah, totally got full sensation of the left eyebrow there. Like, who gives...
Perfect right. example.
Yeah, that guy deserves $30 million because of that change of life. He'll never be able to do the Rock impersonation ever again. Fuck you.
Perfect example of this, right, is I've had Bell's palsy twice, which paralyzes half of my face. And both times, I have lost a little bit more muscle control on that side of my face. I don't fucking blame the doctor.
Well, that's because you drank drain cleaner as a kid. But.
I don't blame the fucking doctor. The disease I was diagnosed causes that fucking that minute paralysis. I don't fucking blame the doctor right. because of it.
No, where did you get it, though? A genetic condition? Or?
Well, I would assume. They haven't really been able to pin it down.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, you can't really blame a doctor. This is specifically the malpractice bullshit.
I gotcha.
Like, if they were operating on your hand and they left you with a slightly larger scar than you were anticipating, right. and you filed a lawsuit and the jury awarded you fucking $50,000 because you have a long... And it's like, it's a scar, motherfucker.
I understand.
You can still jerk off.
I understand large malpractice suits for intentional. I don't even know.
No, they left a fucking right sponge word. In you or something like that, or something practical that makes sense. The doctor fucked up.
Right. I mean, obvious fuck ups. The doctor was drunk when he did your surgery. Okay.
That motherfucker needs to get punitive.
I'd even say the floor was wet and he slipped or something like that, or there was an obvious lack of care for the facilities. That sort of shit right. makes sense. But this perception that doctors are loaded and the people need to recoup something back from doctors whose first
the automatic
goal,
assumption that because a patient dies, there has to be a malpractice suit, even if, hey, half the people die when they have this surgery just because they're so fucked up in the first place.
Well, yeah. I mean, it even goes to cops a little bit, that perception that cops are to fuck up your day. Like, no, the first thing they're there to do is to protect you. If they right. start fucking up your day, you have a right to complain. But otherwise, they're there to protect you.
Mm-hmm.
You can call, like I made to that woman, you can pick up that phone, you can call 911, and that motherfucker comes there, and if your life is in danger, he jumps in front of you and he'll take a bullet. That's literally, or she, that's literally what they're sworn to do in the service of the public. Doctors are sworn to try to save your life at all times of the day. There's no such thing as an off-duty doctor. Is there a doctor in the house is not a TV trope.
Right.
If he intentionally avoids helping you, he could get in a lot of shit for that.
But just like the police, you may have that occasional healthcare provider that shouldn't be there.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying.
And that's, you know, their malpractice has its place.
No, I agree.
Malpractice has been abused like a motherfucker.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
So I think if we're going to reform healthcare, no matter how it goes, systems need to be in place to protect doctors within that system we're reforming it to, no matter what it is. So I'm not so common sense to say universal healthcare solves every healthcare problem in the United States. Oh, no, there's right, some yeah. big shit going on.
Oh, yeah, no.
Martin Shkreli is the perfect example of shit going on in the medical industry.
That name sounds familiar.
That's
but
the
I
motherfucker.
Would you like a $1,700 AIDS pill today? Oh, I guess you're going to die from it.
Oh, that guy. was that AIDS pills? I thought that was some.
It was something.
It was people suffering from immunocompromised okay. diseases that could be lethal, which is anything right. from lupus to AIDS.
Right, but he actually wasn't any kind of healthcare provider. He just bought a drug company.
You know, no, I was
he had
saying,
a pyramid scheme going and then moved
pharmaceutical
into.
Companies are the biggest counter to anything to do with free market jargon. Oh, you want a pill that makes sure you live? It's a free market. If we got rid of patents, they would be forced to compete. Not as much as you think. You still need that pill to live, and they still know that.
The reason
they don't make that pill, you don't live, motherfucker.
I actually understand the reasons for drug patents.
So do I. That's why I'm saying we probably shouldn't get rid of them, libertarians.
Right.
Right.
Because if you get rid of a company's ability to recoup the cost of the research and development, they're like, oh, this drug only costs $4 to make. Yeah, you're right, but it costs them $3 billion to figure out how to make it.
Right. Well,
they have to be able to recoup that money. And if you take the patent away, because, I mean, they only get patents for a set amount of time. It's not like... It's not like the music industry where you get a copyright on a piece of music. It's 75 years after the guy dies, or it's his life plus 75 years.
Right.
Well, drug companies, I think it's anywhere between 7 and 12 years, depending on the type of drug or something like that. And then they're allowed to go generic, and they usually come down.
Right.
Do I have a problem with, oh, I don't know, but I don't know how you fix that problem.
Well, a big percent, oh, here, let me help you while you think of it or think about it, is little things that you don't anticipate. When Patricia was giving birth, they showed the hook they were going to use to break her water.
And are you just using Patricia in, do I know this person?
Or? That is the mother of my daughter.
Okay. I didn't know if you were just using Patricia as... Okay.
I think that's the first time I've heard her name. They induced labor, which was our option because she was in a great deal of complicated pain and issues. So we said, please just get the baby out, make sure the baby's okay and she's okay, because I don't want either of them to really fucking die.
Right.
They showed the hook they were going to insert and break the amniotic sac with.
Right.
And out of pure curiosity, which... It looked like a fucking plastic hook that you could
like
give
a
it
fish hook.
You could give no. You could give this out at Dairy Queen as a way to scoop the peanut butter chunks off the bottom of your cup, and people would think it was the greatest device ever. And Dairy Queen would hand them out by the billions each year. But this hook was specially designed to go in and break the amniotic sac of every woman on the planet. Miraculously, cost $600 to the hospital. And I sat there and thought, okay, other than sanitization. That's a piece of plastic designed to go into a vagina and poke a thing. And they're charging you $600.
Right.
That is obscene.
Well,
and it was poked, snapped in half, thrown in the trash for medical waste, went to a dump. And I'm like, that was $600. And at the time, Patricia was on Medicare. And I'm like, someone had to pay $600 for that plastic hook to break the sac in her vagina so my daughter could be born. I probably could have done the same thing with a straw with a needle at the end.
Hilariously.
Now that's a medical device. That's one thing. I'm talking about drugs.
Well, I'm in the cost of things. It's not just pharmaceuticals, but you need this to live. It now costs blank amount of money.
Right.
Wait, what?
I get it if it's a new thing and they spent money to research and development. They need to be able to recoup their costs. You know.
Mm-hmm.
I also wonder because, well, look at Mary. She's on blood thinners. She's on Coumadin. It's rat poison. It's been around for 50 plus years. It's the gold standard, but it's also been around long enough that it's generic. We get a shit ton of it for $5.
Mm-hmm.
There are plenty of new drugs on the market that cost a hell of a lot more money that supposedly work better.
Right.
But what we have is working just fine. You know.
Yeah. I agree with that, yeah.
Now, you know, so that's fine. I mean, they've long since recouped their R&D on Coumadin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so therefore the price is cheap.
Should go down, yeah.
Plus it's generic. Everybody makes Coumadin, you know,
every drug
company out there makes Coumadin. But, you know, for the first however long, they have to be able to recoup their expenses. You know, some drugs cost more than others to make, to package, to R&D. You know, and a lot of people will say, well, what do you mean? They may try 100 different drugs before they find one that works for something, and all of that costs money. And if they're not allowed to recoup their money on that one drug, they're not going to be able to R&D new drugs.
So to quote the Republicans, you got to spend money to make money, Frank.
Again, yeah, but you have to be able to make money to spend money as well.
And pimping out pharmaceutical reps and $50 million ad campaigns and shit like that is also part of the R&D and the recouping process.
That I have never understood.
Right.
I have never understood prescription drug marketing.
Do you sometimes feel anxious? Yeah, I need that fucking pill.
Right.
Right. It there's a racket going on. That's what I'm saying. There needs to be a reform of the pharmaceutical market in general.
I get advertising cough syrup.
Yeah.
You know, over-the-counter drugs where you are going to walk in and you're going to see 50 drugs saying, you know, get Alka-Seltzer. It works better than Robitussin.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with that. Yeah.
I've never understood prescription drug marketing. Ask your doctor about, no, my doctor should know. I have this condition. I need this drug.
Well, the difference is your doctor gets pimped out by the pharmaceutical reps that give him rebates and kickbacks completely legally for pimping that drug to you if you can take it without killing you in it.
Yeah. And the funny thing is that,
and you have a right to request care, and the doctor's only responsibility is to make sure he doesn't give you anything that can kill you.
Yeah.
Or cause you harm.
Even my doctor
is not
immune to that. I'm not going to get into the condition or anything like that, but I had a condition that I needed a particular drug for, and it's not a generic drug. There is no generic for this drug. It's a new thing, and there's nothing generic that'll do what this did. So the first one he gave me was going to be something like $2,500.
Yeah.
For a course. And I was like, well, I can't afford that. Well, my doctor is like, okay, you can't afford that. Let's see what we can do. Finally got it to the point where it was going to cost like $500. And then I called my insurance company, and insurance company's like, yeah, we don't cover that because it's a tier one, you know, brand name drug. And I'm like, well, can you look again, please? And we went through some paperwork, so we got it down to $75. But it took a little
bit of finagling, yeah.
But my biggest problem with healthcare in general, and I don't want to harp on insurance here. Insurance back in the day used to be what's called major medical insurance. It was insurance that was around if you had a car accident or you needed to have, you know, something big happened. It wasn't intended to pay for every little, you know, doctor's
visit,
every little, I have a cold, I need to go see my doctor, that kind of thing. So a lot of that gets absorbed into the insurance as well. Mm-hmm. I wonder if prices might come down if insurance went back to that kind of model, where we're here if you have to spend $50,000, but if you're just going to see your doctor for a cold, maybe you should just pay your doctor for the office visit.
Well, the doctor's office visits sometimes are very reasonable. Often they are not.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, but
you know,
when I've had to pay cash for a doctor's visit instead of using my insurance, it's never been too much more expensive than my copay would have been.
Well, that's true.
Because the doctors add the inconvenience costs, I guess, of what it would be into having to bill all of these different insurance companies, because they'll bill the insurance company. The insurance company will say, we're only going to cover this much of the thing. And then they got to send you a bill for the rest of it and, you know, all that stuff. But if you just, how about I just give you $50, doc? Fine.
God, that would be great if it was $50 to him to pat your lymph nodes and put a thing on your chest and then say, yeah, you got strep. Go get this pill. You have to go pay for the pill too. That'd be fucking great if it was $50 for that shit. Usually, when I've run into it, it's usually between $200 and $500.
Right.
Payable at time of visit. Let me just grab my wallet where I keep my $500 doctor visit fund. And which was great when I was puking out my guts at T&J and Emperor Gill declared that in order to call in sick, I needed a doctor's note. I'm like, well, I'm puking. I'm sick. I have the flu. Do you have a doctor's note to prove that?
No, because you don't give me insurance, fucker.
let me get you that note, Gil.
But a lot of that actually comes down to what doctor you go to. I mean, doctor to doctor, the price is different.
Which in that town was a bit of a racket because you had two options. But
yeah,
which was just at the funny part of the day.
Yeah.
Like at the end of this story, I had gone to the doctor because I had a sick tummy because my boss told me to. I paid $200 to get a note that says I shouldn't serve food that day.
I asked Tyson, the owner of the business, if there was any way to recoup that, and he declined to do so. So I paid $200 to keep my Safe Serve food certification, because if I had puked on somebody's food or gotten somebody else sick, that would have been stripped from me, and Tyson also would have lost money, because now he doesn't have a food service manager. And I'm sitting here in the middle going, wait a minute, who was the actual victim of this scenario?
I have an idea. Matter of fact, I'm going to throw this past my doctor next time I see him and see what he thinks. Fast food healthcare.
Yeah, that's why I made that analogy on purpose.
Seriously, you walk into the doctor's office and you go up and you see the receptionist and you've got a big ass board behind the receptionist that says office visit this much, this procedure this much, this, you know, so it was, so you can doctor shop. You can say, okay, which doctor is cheaper? You know.
And I would
just like any
okay
other goods
that.
And services. I would love to know how much it is ahead of time.
He's gonna laugh in your face because it strips the dignity off of him. That I'm not saying it's a bad idea. I'm saying they won't accept it because they have dignity. And putting their prices on a board up there like McDonald's, they're just gonna laugh at the notion. Which I know you're saying it as a joke, but
there's a
dignity to their profession they will never admit to, but is constantly there. I am a doctor. You will refer to me as Dr. Swanson. Right. You know.
Well, Matt knows. Again, he knows my dad. He's actually pretty cool. He might actually go for something like this.
Mm-hmm.
Except he gives me because he's a Cardinals fan.
And then their biggest concern will be like malpractice suits and shit like that if somebody picks the wrong procedure to do. Well, he let me do it and he should have known. I'm seeing the practicality of it.
You have your general office visit to say, okay, now you have your choice between this procedure, and this procedure.
Okay, so you start out with a flat fee. You're spending this much when you walk through the door.
Right, you're spending this much for an evaluation.
But this way, when I say I'm going to send this out for this test, you already know exactly the cost, and you can actually stop me before I send it out.
Right.
I would be cool with that.
Doc, are you sure I really need that test?
Because how often do they say, I'm going to send this out for testing, and it's never worded as a question?
No, it's never. Right. Do I have an option to decline that test? Hilariously, you do, but they never word it that way.
Right. Yeah.
And then you get a five. They're not evil.
They're working the best way to make sure you idiot, are alive.
And then you get a $500 bill from the lab, you know.
Right. Because it could be you used some dirty gym equipment and got a rash, or you could have cancer. Let's be safe.
It's just me personally. I would like to know the price of the shit ahead of time at the doctor's office. You know, if I'm going in, Doc, I have genital warts. How much is
I got
that?
A dirty dick.
How much is that a point?
He could make a killing on the uninsured market in the area. No, I see the practicality of it. I do. I just think it'll be something that strips their dignity away from them, and they won't want to do it.
I don't know. Some of them might, too.
Some of them.
I think...
You can imagine the media stories. This guy is dangerous because he... No,
he's just letting you know how much the shit costs at a time. So you don't, because the problem is if you go to a doctor, and like Pete said, I'm going to send this out for testing. Well, how much they send out for testing depends on whether you have insurance or not.
Mm-hmm.
If they know they're not going to get paid, they're going to do the basic test. But if you walk in with insurance, you're going to get x-rays, a CAT scan, probably an MRI, a Chem 20,
Which is, it's actually kind of crazy too, the level of protection hospitals put on themselves in this shit that you don't know about, but that you're also technically a victim of, because the doctor's in the room with you and he says, I'm going to have to send you out for this, and he walks out of the room and you're like, all right, that's being sent. And then they bring in a form and says, this is your consent to treatment, in there is the list of shit they can, and you sign it because you don't want to fucking die. And then in there's the clause, you've agreed to these tests, you can't fucking sue us, moron, and you're going to pay for all of it. And you're like,
But going back to Pete's original point from a half hour ago, you know why doctors and hospitals want to do 9 million tests?
So that you don't fucking die.
To avoid malpractice suits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, we have to test for everything.
I agree. That's why I'm saying there's so many factors in here, and I think the biggest one to first change is public perception of doctors.
Right.
They're not money-grubbing whores. They did become doctors probably to make a good living, but...
But they did spend...
They're not going to strip your kidneys and sell them on the black market, motherfucker.
They probably have $200,000 or $300,000 in student loans they have to pay back.
Right.
Plus, they have
that
to pay...
That was their choice.
I don't...
Nah.
But that's fine. They made that economic choice. They have to also pay for the building that they're using.
Mm-hmm.
They have to pay for all of those nurses. Mm-hmm. I'm saying a private practice doctor.
Right, private practices, right. Yeah.
Like just your normal...
I know, disclaimer is necessary.
Family doctor is what I'm talking about now. They have to pay for the building. They have to pay for the receptionist, the nurse, his malpractice. Probably two or three nurses, actually, if you think about it.
The office clerk.
Mm-hmm. The billing department.
Yep.
Any tests that he runs, mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff. All of that comes out of his pocket, and then he tries to get that money from you later. Okay. You can see how costs add up pretty quick.
It was actually kind of funny because there's a very vocal nurse friend that I have on Facebook.
And doctor's offices, or doctors are one of those few, or healthcare in general, is one of those few things where it's a guaranteed treat now, pay later argument. So they really never know how much they're going to actually get paid.
Well, for the ER. Anything that you go in on purpose to be seen for, you have to pay up right. front somehow.
Well,
if it's threatening your life, they have to treat you.
Right. But even when I go to my doctor, I'll pay a copay, $20.
You have insurance. That's what I'm saying.
But even with insurance, if you know, I have a copay, and then if he does other tests on top of that, I'm going to have a copay plus 20% or whatever. And I never know how much that 20% is going
to
be.
What I'm saying, trick to that is they know they're getting some money back because you have insurance instantly. If right. you walk in, you don't have an insurance card, that shit's...
Right.
Let me see money first now.
Right. But I mean, it's one of those things. Yeah, they know they're going to get the 80%, but they never know if they're going to get the money out of you or not.
Right. Well, I mean, hence the overbilling of the insurance to pay for the exactly. people that don't pay. I like I said, I didn't say it was corrupt. A little too general of a statement for my taste. I hate only Sith dealing absolutes,
right.
Frank.
Right, but I mean, just about anything. But just about anything in any other service you do, it's a pay and then get your service type mm-hmm. situation. You go to McDonald's and you get a burger. You pay, they give you a burger. It's not you go to McDonald's.
I'll pay you Tuesday for a burger today. Right. Yeah, hamburger today. Yeah, right. No, they don't right. do that shit.
Mm-hmm.
I'll pay up front.
I'll pay you a dollar now, and then you'll charge my food insurance company, and they'll pay you another 80%, and then you can try to get the other 20% out of me. That's not how McDonald's works.
No,
they put a menu up there. It says, a hamburger costs you this much. All right, I want a hamburger. Here's this much. All right,
mm-hmm.
That's how most things work.
Fuck, that's the way it works when I drive for Uber. When you fucking summon me, you've already paid your money.
Right. What I'm saying is that's how most things work in a capitalist society.
Uh-huh. Right.
This is how much...
Then you pull in, you know...
This is how much this good or service costs. Pay me, I'll perform the work or service. Okay. Doctors are a different animal.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, it used to be doctors would come to your house, you give them $5 or a chicken or whatever.
in relation to like the medical industry, though, there was a really good analogy that I don't necessarily believe every facet of it, but it was a really good analogy for the public perception of medicine was the oasis analogy, which is three armed men are guarding the only oasis in a desert for 700 miles. And they demand a tribute for every person that wants to drink at the oasis.
Uh-huh.
How long do they get away with it?
Well, it depends.
How long till 50 armed men come to shove those three armed men off that oasis?
Exactly.
Like, how long does absolute control of a vital resource last before...
If you don't pay no toll...
Right. You don't get no roll.
I don't get no roll.
And how many people die in the desert before they realize nobody keeps coming that way, and they're really, really good breaking point. If they have to let just enough people drink, their tribute has to be just right to convince you it's worth it to pay it to drink at the oasis. But
right.
even then, there's a breaking point. I'm like, wait, you mean I have to keep 20 gold pieces on me so I can live in the desert?
But like I said,
because three armed assholes keep me from drinking the right. water that was already there. You know, right.
But what I mean is doctors, as opposed to just about any other service, you have no idea how much it's going to cost until after the service is done.
Right.
Buy a car. You know how much you're going to buy. You sign a contract saying, I'm paying this much for the car. Buy a house, same thing. Buy a... Can you think of any other thing where you get service first and then the bill later?
No. It was kind of fitting because in the analogy, the three people, the three armed guards were lawyers, pharmaceutical companies, and insurance companies, keeping you from the water, which was the doctor. How long before people just get fed up with paying that toll and going through all that bullshit and threats before they say, fuck this, we're going straight to the doctors.
Yep.
And you can't stop us.
And there's actually some doctors that are starting to do that now.
Yeah. Right. No, I've actually seen some information.
Private doctors, they'll say, if you pay me $2,500 a year or something like that. It's like, what are they called? Like VIP doctors or some shit like that. You pay them $2,500 cash. And you can see them when you need to see them. But your price for services are going to be relatively cheap. Because, you know, I'm only going to take 50 patients at $2,500 each. He's already made his $100,000 or whatever that he needs. Yeah. And then, so he doesn't need to charge an arm and a leg for...
Okay.
For services, you know. A lot of doctors are starting to do that.
And I understand that, but the thing with that is that not everybody has the availability to drop $2,500 up front for a doctor to pay for that.
Well, considering my company is spending $15,000 a year for insurance on me.
Oh no. If they wanted to which I absolutely agree with that. If that was something that was an option,
mm-hmm.
I would be one of those people that doesn't really pay much for anything because I don't see the fucking doctor very rarely.
Right. But your employer is still paying for your insurance.
Yes.
Somewhere between $10,000 and $15,000 a year probably.
Absolutely.
To cover you.
Yep.
But you don't realize it because you don't see it.
Oh, yeah, I know.
If you had to pay your own insurance, now, would you rather your company give you that $15,000 and then you are allowed to free market shop your insurance or your medical care?
In my personal, with me personally, because...
Assuming that you had to buy insurance, under the current law, you had to have your own insurance.
With me personally being under a collective bargaining agreement for our healthcare... It kind of changes the equation a little bit.
It does a little bit, but assuming you had the choice between...
If I wasn't collectively bargained?
No, even if you were. Let's say part of the CBA was you have a choice between us covering you for insurance or we'll give you $15,000 a year and you can get your own shit.
Me personally, I am one of those people that I feel I am responsible enough to be able to do that, and I would probably take that.
Again, like I said, assuming that, you know, because the current law says you must have insurance.
Yeah, I believe that
the difference is rather than taking the insurance that the company offers you, you would be allowed to go out on your own and buy a tailored health insurance policy.
I could get behind
such that. As the CBA right now has to go off of what the government tells them that they have to cover.
Right.
Well, I don't need maternity
right
coverage
right I Me, you know yeah I mean? Oh yeah no if I'm one of those people that would be able to go in because I am personally responsible and personally intelligent enough to figure out and research that information myself, not necessarily everybody is.
The funny thing was that up until about 50 years ago, employers really never provided medical insurance.
Mm-hmm.
They started to do it right after World War II because they wanted good employees, so they dangled it as a benefit. Mm-hmm. You know, they couldn't raise hourly wages, you know, to an extreme. So they said, okay, well, yeah, this company here will pay you $10,000 a year. Well, we'll pay you $10,000 a year. And how about health insurance?
And we'll cover your fucking kids and your concept for wanting kids and shit like that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was dangled as a benefit. It wasn't the government telling them you have to give health insurance. You know, it was a benefit. And over time, it became something that people depended on.
Yeah.
That's fine. It's the capitalist economic system at work. You know, Pete and I were talking about this earlier today. Competition in capitalism, or competition in capitalism, is good.
Yes,
because absolutely. It raises wages and at the same time lowers the price of product, because it must. If you want the cream of the crop employees, you have to pay more than your competitors.
Yeah.
But if you want to sell more product, you must also provide a cheaper and better product than your competitors.
I agree. Which is why I'm never one of those like crazy liberals that doesn't understand the concept of economics. Economics in capitalist societies is the superior way. My stance on this subject,
capitalist economics in society,
yeah, is the best way to do it. There has to be a good medium between that and covering those that lack the capability.
Well, what I said to Frank in relation to this was that ideally, the hybrid of the concepts that nobody can seem to understand and why it worked best in America was that it was like a football game. It's competition.
Yeah.
But there's still lines.
There's still rules and things that you have. Yeah.
There might be some referees and shit.
Right.
Right.
You have football team A that does things this way. You have football team B that does things this way. They're competing against each other. And then, like Pete said, you have the boundaries of the field that you can't exceed. And then you have referees there enforcing the rules.
Yeah.
He made the point of, well, if there's lines, then people can walk it. I'm like, as long as those lines were clearly drawn and agreed upon by everybody that's a fan of that sport, you know, that pays the tickets and et cetera.
That's actually not, that's actually not the point that I made. The first response that I had was, well, then you might run into a situation of having too many referees. Okay, we agreed about that pretty quick.
You need
enough referees to be able to enforce the rules, but you don't need 50 referees for 20 people on the field.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. No, I completely agree with that.
But the problem that I run into is just current liberal thinking today is that one team that realizes that running the ball down the sideline is to an advantage. You know, they're skirting the line.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're immoral. They're that kind of thing. You know, they're using loopholes. Well, that loophole was written into the field of play by the people that created the rules. Why can't they use it? You know what I mean? If you don't like it, change the rules. That's what you have a rules committee for.
No, I completely agree with you on that. Changing the rules is fine. If you can.
Yeah. Right. But I get so upset with people complaining about people or corporations doing something that's perfectly legal.
Mm-hmm.
Immoral or not, it's perfectly legal. It's within the rules that were set up by the people that made the rules. And then, oh, they shouldn't be able to do that. Well, then change it.
Yeah. Well, you think about it. And the reason why I said this was an ideal thing was that, like, even as you brought up with baseball, the umpires are a separate union, whatever term you used, and are contracted in by Major League Baseball.
Right.
The referees of the NFL are sanctioned by the NFL. They rotate around. They're never in the same field and shit. They get to keep their impartiality in interpreting the rules. And sure, you get upset when your team doesn't win, but at the same time,
exactly.
You make jokes about the refs being paid off, but you very rarely mean it unless they're caught red-handed with their hands.
Well, the difference is that when people were bitching about companies and loopholes or rich people and loopholes or whatever, they mean it.
So, yeah,
that's fine to bitch and complain and moan about the loopholes.
Who was it that
change the rules? If you don't like the rules, change the rules. That's what we have a Congress.
Who
for.
Was it? We were watching the Super Bowl and they did an onside kick.
That was the Saints.
And I'm like, you're fucking scum. And I'm like, everything they did was perfectly legal. They can't be taken to court. They can't be sued. They're never getting my fucking merchandise. I'm gonna remember that franchise for the rest of my life because I'm like, that is the scummiest shit I've ever seen in my life. You broke every unspoken, unwritten rule of football, but you didn't break any of the written ones.
that's my judgment, and I'm never supporting that team, which is why I thought the example was fitting. You can, if the team runs, if a team runs the ball down down the sidelines every time and you don't like it, you don't have to buy that team shit. You don't have to support that team in competition. You don't have to give them money for what they do.
Right.
The kicker is the freedom of speech when you have a right to bitch about it in public, but that's a different thing.
The other side of that, though, is when the other, when that team that is doing that, they start to manipulate public perception into saying that that's okay.
Well, no, that's taking the argument farther than it, or the example farther than it should go. The reason I put that forward was an example of how government should function in relation to economics and the market. It should draw the lines, it should provide the refs, and it should wait for people to fuck up.
Exactly. Public perception. The government should have no...
We got all these great rules in football for play clocks and false starts and shit like that. And at the most, what are you going to do if the team, you know, has a false start? The referee's there to blow the fucking whistle.
Right.
Yeah, you break the rules, here's the punishment. 5 yards, you know. Whatever.
If a team breaks the penalty long enough, we don't need to go back in and say, well, the time clock should go up or go down and all this other bullshit. We maybe revisit the penalty structure a little bit. But
right.
how much they're penalized if they do it all the time. Like, man, there's a lot of teams getting in this habit. But
oh, no, and again, I totally agree with going in and rewriting the rules and structures and laws that create those situations. The issue with that is that there are some entities that are involved in this that do their absolute best to make sure that can't be done. Basically, for example, like what I'm referring to is, let's say in regards to tax laws, right? Companies actively position and put politicians there that will keep those loopholes open and not allow us to change the people to directly influence the politicians to change those loopholes. Okay.
Right, which is kind of what we have going with the NFL commissioner.
Yeah,
very correct.
Right, but which is one of the things that I've talked about before.
Yeah,
where you don't like that, let's get that line changed.
I'm cool with that. That's why I agree.
What
with
he's
you.
Saying is but that the teams have too much power to manipulate public perception on that rule from being changed. Again, you're extrapolating the example farther than it should go.
Yeah,
and what I'm saying is that as the lines are currently drawn, that's perfectly legal.
Because then the issue is that you have to make sure that the officials that are in charge of making how those rules get changed are unswayable, and it does go to public opinion.
Right.
Is running the ball down the line every play okay in the rules? Is breaking the play clock and timer every single
then,
thing
which then directly,
that bad?
Which, because that is the concept of it, that would it does directly go into what... Like the concept of a moral choice is.
Right.
So
and this is the other factor of why I'm an authoritarian left. No one can force you to do anything. Technically, they can put a gun to your head and threaten to murder
you.
And
you still have the choice
to
say.
You still have the choice to be fucking murdered for that choice. But literally nobody can make your muscles move against your will. At our current level of technology, to manipulate shit and do shit.
Right. Back to the argument that I made a couple hours ago. No law has ever forced anybody to do anything.
Oh, I know that. I know that.
So if they manipulate public perception and the public actually accepts that this thing is okay in the game, shit. Mm-hmm. As long as they didn't use the officials to change the rules on the field before they were changing the book, then that's completely in line with the process, in my opinion.
Okay. My
issue is when the teams are able to pay off the refs right in front of the crowd of the game and our reaction is, the fuck? And that's they're like, you can't do anything. You love football, don't you, asshole? I love football.
Yeah, no, you're saying things that I completely agree with. Yeah, no, absolutely.
Which goes back to the argument that I made a few weeks ago, $2,000 per politician per election.
Yeah, getting money out of politics.
We get to come back to a thing I don't even fucking understand, but the designated hitter rule. Some people agree with it. Some people fucking don't.
Fuck the designated.
How do you decide?
You don't.
you can debate it till the cows come home, but at the end of the day, it's the people that have control over the leagues that get to decide it. And they are influenced by public opinion, but you're influenced by their opinion too.
But again, that's one of those that said, all right, in this league, here are the rules. In this league, here are the rules. The problem that comes in is interleague fucking play.
Right. Well, again, another set of problems. But the nature of the designated hitter rule is a perfect example of the rules being changed, public perception thereof, and things like that.
Yeah.
That becomes almost a democratic process because the leagues don't want to fuck over the people that buy tickets and stupid hats and stupid shoes and stupid MLB fucking seeds and shit like
that. That's not even public perception. That's capitalist economics at work, what you were talking about
again,
there.
That's why I think this example is
some people want to see
spot on for how it should function.
Some people want to see home runs, which means we need to have a designated rule so the shittiest hitter on the team doesn't have to hit.
And in my mind, the argument that I got into was somebody that's saying, sure, the refs can be there, but they're not allowed to say anything. They're not allowed to blow the whistle. They're not allowed to call any penalties, and the lines don't exist. That's free market capitalism. I'm like, that's not even a fucking game anymore. It's just a bunch of people rolling around in a field. There's nothing going on.
Or even better, let's do it like this. The refs won't say or do anything until after the game is over.
Or better yet, fire them and erase the lines. Football.
No. The lines and the rules will all be there.
Wait, that's anarcho-capitalist. I'm sorry.
But A, you can't see the lines. And B, you don't know the refs are there until the game's over. And then the refs come in and say, okay, well, Team A, while you technically won, you did this, 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 and this, so your penalty is minus 8 points. Team B, you didn't do quite as much. This, 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 and this. So your penalty is minus 4 points. Okay, even though they won, not really, you won. That's why you need to have
defined, I got a better one.
Defined rules.
Even better. Free market capitalism is to... got to use this correctly because I know he's going to take an issue with almost any term I use. The current iteration of capitalism that exists in the United States, as is the Roman arena is to NFL. There isn't a fucking ref on the field. It's just two guys beating the shit of each other and are partially fueled by cheers.
Yeah.
And at the end, the public decides somehow if the person lives or dies.
Yeah, but the funny thing was even then, you know, regardless of what you saw in movies and stuff like that, they didn't kill him.
They didn't kill
the loser all that much because
again,
it costs a lot of money to train a gladiator.
We can scratch the glass of my analogy all we want, but the picture is still there.
I know what you're saying, but like I said, even then they didn't, you know, yes or no, that this up or down thumb didn't happen all that often.
No.
Because it costs a lot of money to train a gladiator.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to just waste that investment if you don't have to. But, you know, you can argue this until the cows come home. I've been to the point for a while I'm not advocating a violent overthrow of the government. I wonder if maybe it's time to
look into it.
Start over.
INSA. Or Department of Homeland Security, whoever's listening these days.
Right. I'm not advocating a violent overthrow of the government. I am advocating perhaps it's time to look at the House rules and maybe reformulate.
Clear them out a bit.
The system.
Yeah.
Which, again, going back to the analogy, is like us saying, do we really need a line judge? Well, we might, but do we really need the line judge? We've done this before and shit. There's ways to reform any game, but at what point do you make it unplayable in either end of the spectrum? From too many rules or not enough or none?
I think we're actually at the point where there's too many rules.
God, do you remember playing like pickup football games at like recess and shit?
Mm-hmm.
That's free market capitalism, man.
Yeah.
You're not even playing on a field with lines sometimes in elementary school. It's just a grass field.
Well, I remember.
Was the trash can the end zone or was?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. He got it in. No, he didn't. Shut up, Tony. Right. You don't know shit. That's free market capitalism.
Hold on. Because that reminds me. of a, again, we're going to, I'm going to throw a Bill Cosby skit out here, even though he's creepy and perverted. But, him talking
allegedly
about, yeah.
And they threw his case out, if I remember correctly.
Yes, there's no fucking evidence. Oh my God, that got it. Oh my God.
Let's see if I can play this up. Bill Cosby.
I actually had a discussion going with somebody that hosted a Sargon partook in his first debate.
Mm.
And I actually got in a conversation with a host of the debate. So here I'm actually cracking to get into that.
I hope this is
oh,
it.
Oh, shit. Nice.
I hope this is it.
We played street football right there on the street. And this is where we had the greatest quarterback in the world. Our quarterback, he had to control 23 men on a side. And he was really great at it. You women don't know anything about it. You played with dolls and stuff like that. But here's a guy with an ingenious mind. He'd call a football play like this. He'd always get down on one knee and draw things. You know, he'd take a Coke bottle top. Now, Shorty, this is you. This is a Coke bottle. I don't want to be the Coke bottle top. Okay, what do you want to be? Yeah, I want to be a piece of glass. Okay. Now listen to this now. Arnie, go down 10 steps and cut left behind the black Chevy. Philbert, you run down to my house and wait in the living room.
Just hang out there for a minute.
Cosby, you go down to 3rd Street. Catch the J bus. Have them open the doors at 19th Street. I'll fake it to you. I only have one fat kid they never thought of. What about me? You go long. Get a lot of good plays going like that. I'll throw it over the water tower. You'll catch it as it bounces off.
That kind of thing.
No, yeah. Well, even worse, the just debating who's winning, who's not winning, that sort of shit is the...
Well, you never really know because it's constantly a competition. So is there a down? Is there any rules?
Yeah.
Ah!
Which is actually a very similar concept that I have had, which is when you're dealing with the free market should be shoved in its own box, contained, and then the market figures it out from that point. That's it. That's all that it should be done.
Well, it goes back to the same point where I said we've got too many rules at this point.
Mm-hmm.
The free market should be able to operate as a free market within
the
established guidelines.
Within the boundaries that has been set up for it.
Right.
Yeah.
We're to the point now where there's so many fucking rules. I'll guarantee you did at least 20 illegal things today. And you don't even know it because there's so many fucking rules out there. Yeah. Where you need teams of advisors and teams of tax accountants and teams of lawyers just to be able to wade through the minutiae of law.
I want people that balance the PvP gameplay of MMOs to write economic law.
Holy shit.
'Cause even playing an arms warrior, there's those moments where you're like, fucking frost mages are OP as shit. And then you get to fight a rogue and you're like, ha, this is easy.
Uh-huh.
That's economic balance. Man, I found a really good opening where I got on that rogue, but then that frost mage raped my ass and sent me back to respawn. Well, what'd you do to the rogue, asshole?
Right.
That's competition. You won. There's a counter system at play. And a skill cap.
Right. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you've heard me talk about all the rules and regulations I got to deal with and the 14 regulatory agencies I have to deal with just to drive a truck down the road.
Mm-hmm.
We've gone a little too far.
Yes. And again, that's where I'm not the typical liberal. And it's like, I'm one of those people that's like, yeah, no, we could probably go in and clear out some of this shit and get rid of it. Yeah.
Well, especially on the government level.
Mm-hmm. The word is reform, gentlemen.
Government.
I know it's a dirty word now.
Government
is reform it.
Government should not be the single largest employer in the country. Even if you take the military out of it, just the government bureaucracy.
Change renovation.
No, I think reform is the.
Well, I think reform. Strip it down to the beams and right. See what you can build back up on the framework.
Right.
Yeah.
Because when you've got anytime Congress writes a law nowadays, you've got to create a new government agency to administer that law, and you just add to the bureaucracy of. Oh, let's see. No.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
I thought about it for a while when I was debating these people, and I'm like, that's why I like the football analogy, because eventually you can have too many rules and the game's unplayable.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
This is from USA.gov. You're going to love this. The A to Z index of U.S. government departments and agencies.
Yay.
I pulled up A. All right. Ready? The Ability One Commission.
What the fuck is that?
No idea. The Access Board. Administration of Children and Families. Administration for Community Living. Administration for Native Americans. Administration for Aging. Administration on Developmental Disabilities. Administrative Conference of the United States. Administrative Office of the U.S. Courts. Advisory Council on Historic Preservation. African Development Foundation, Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality, Agency for International Development, Agency for Toxic Substances and Disease Registry.
What?
Agricultural Marketing Service.
What? Let's go back to the
toxin one.
Yeah.
I want to know how many agents are in that.
And isn't that something the fucking call. CDC should handle?
You would think.
Center disease control does it, keep well, a it, registry
it,
of toxins.
It must. I think it's a part of the CDC because their number is 800 CDC.
Okay, so this isn't a very expanded list,
right? Okay. This is every single government agency and like that. Agricultural Market Service.
Well, going back on. To okay, I'll let you finish.
Let me finish this because this is a long list. Agricultural Research Service, Agriculture Department, or the USDA. Air Force, Air Force Reserve, Alabama, Alaska, okay. Alcohol and Tobacco Tax and Trade Bureau, Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms and Explosives Bureau, AmeriCorps, American Battle Monuments Commission, American Samoa, Amtrak, Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service.
What the fuck is that?
Antitrust Division.
That one.
Architect of the Capitol. The National Archives, Arctic Research Commission.
Not so useful.
Arizona, Arkansas, Armed Forces Retirement Homes, Arms Control and International Security, Army Corps of Engineers, Arthritis and Musculoskeletal Interagency Coordinating Committee.
Whatever the fuck that is.
That's just the A's.
Now, going back to the toxin one... Having a special department inside the CDC that specifically handles that, I don't know if I disagree with that.
That might just be part of their org chart.
Yeah.
That's not...
Right, but that was created due to some law. I mean, all of these report to some kind of cabinet secretary, and then you split off from there.
Yeah.
But you have all of these separate agencies, and each one of those agencies gets to create rules. Rules which have the force of law. Rules which are not voted on.
Oh, we've talked about this before. No, that's
by Congress. It's rules to enforce laws is how it is. But they'll come up with one law saying, "We need to control." Let's use the air quality for an example here. Congress comes out with a law saying we need to reduce pollution by 20% over the next 10 mm-hmm. years. So they create the Air Resource Board, and the Air Resource Board comes out with shit tons of rules. And then when you factor in the fact that there's thousands of these agencies and bureaus and committees and departments, and I'm trying.
So that's what you're getting at. He's broken 20 things today and didn't know it.
Right.
Right. No, that's. Too many rules, the game's unplayable. No, but
right, yeah.
Not all of those have to do with the economy, per se. That's I don't want to say that's a different argument, but...
Well, they can get to the point where they affect the economy or affect the economy. Blah, 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 blah. If you've got, you know, especially rules that affect business, all of these different rules telling you how you can and can't do business, coming from all kinds of different places.
No, that can actually stifle competition and shit. No, I completely understand.
When that argument is made, I understand the
demonstrate how that fat can be trimmed and why it needs to be trimmed, and it should be trimmed.
Right. That's, I'm not saying that there's no place for rules in the marketplace.
Right.
I'm saying I think we're beyond the point where there's too many fucking rules coming from too many different places.
Isn't that part of the executive branch's job, though, to make sure that there's no excess? That's the irony. I know, but
the lead commissioner
is supposed to keep a tab on all these rules and make sure they're not horseshit.
Well, the problem is that these government agencies are created by Congress and administered by the executive branch.
Yeah, it's too many refs. I know what you're saying.
Right.
I'm down with the argument. We're in agreement.
Oh, you mean you're up with what I'm putting down? Is that what it is?
He's picking up what you're laying down.
Next question. Solve it. That doesn't involve making more refs to ref the refs for a while. You know, it's
the Broadcasting Board of Governors.
Yeah, who knows what the fuck these guys do, but.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got to go digging. You need a special agency to go digging. Or agencies. Well, all right, you cover the environment. You cover the economy.
Like I said, my biggest problem with
the overlap, sir? Shit, we need a department for the overlap. We're making it worse!
And that's what I mean. My problem with all of these government agencies and stuff is that you have run into the point where you have so much overlap that you might have 15 agencies regulating the same damn thing.
So you'd probably need some form of
consolidation.
A executive in the executive branch that can actually condense the shit before trimming the fat.
Yeah,
I'm looking at it like a butcher, honestly. I've cut lots of meat.
Oh, yeah.
And the first thing you do is you pull it up on the slab before you start slinging the knife. Look at where the fat is, you pull it up, where does it connect, then you start digging in with the knife.
See, now this is me personally, where I would call... I'm like, okay, I'm the president. I have 1,000 government agencies out there that I'm responsible for overseeing.
Right.
Okay, I have 1,400 days in my 4 years that I've elected for president. All right, I'm calling in two of these fuckers every day, and I'm going to say, what do you do that no other government agency does?
Oh, yeah. No, I totally agree with that. Like being able to, like, looking into that amount of oversight and digging through it and seeing where we can cut and then trim and connect and stuff like that is an entire audit on the executive branch for that type of shit should probably have already happened 50, 60 fucking years ago.
I could say this. This is a summary, but it's almost,
well, no, they don't want to
it's
do
almost
that,
like
though.
You need a census of the federal government.
Right. No, because here's the problem, Matt. And here's why they'll never do it. Because if they went through the federal government and got rid of all the stuff that's overlapped or is unnecessary anymore or anything like that, you'll probably be able to reduce the size of the federal government by about 25%, I would say.
You said 25?
That's probably being conservative.
You said 25?
25%.
I would have said somewhere around 60.
Right. And like I said, but that's being conservative. 25%.
Yeah. Right.
So all of a sudden, you get rid of that 25% of government, now you've got 1 million people on the marketplace looking for jobs.
I guess,
do that because that raises the unemployment rate.
I'm guessing how many, and I mean, I'm not saying we should privatize Social Security, but how many of these government functions can be occupied in a fair and just way by private corporations?
Or how many,
without abusing the citizenry, without breaking codes of ethics and shit like that, without gouging people.
Or how many of these agencies that have 500 people in them or 20,000 people, IRS, could be done by 3 people on a computer?
Let's embrace the technology. Yeah. No, I'm also one of those people that, again, I'm not your typical liberal. It's like, well, God, no.
Why am I spending $50 billion a year on travel when I have Skype?
I remember this conversation.
Right. No. We've been in total agreement with you.
Don't tell me that there's nowhere that the government is running as lean as possible and that there's no way you can cut the budget.
There's six.
Bullshit.
There's six steps to trimming out the eye of a rack of ribs to make a ribeye. And three of them involve the fat trimming. You know, it's
yeah.
And then you end up with a beautiful fucking product that everybody should want to eat because it's delicious in every way. But
then again, as you said, when you start doing that shit, you will
But right now, I've got a 600-pound cow with 550 pounds of fat.
I was going to say, you got like Siamese twin cows because all the ribs are hooked together and shit. And
right.
Of course, so, then the analogy is killing the cow, but, you know.
I got no problem
with that. Well, that's why you're going with that overthrow the government bullshit.
Not necessarily overthrow. Who is that?
It's Dina, and I don't know what she's on.
Probably found a spider. Not necessarily overthrow the government, but.
Yep, there she goes. She's got one.
Get it. Get it.
She's got a daddy long leg she's after.
Trim the fat.
She got it!
She's got a leg or two. It's coming down. She knows it. It's funny. She's doing that with like no depth perception.
This cat is amazing. Yeah.
Got right down to eye level. She's like, now I know where it is.
Now I got
you. Oh, Dina, there's another one behind you. You scared up a rook of them. Turn around, you idiot.
It's that time of year. We've got a lot of those fucking long leg spiders down here.
Especially when it's cold outside, like today.
Yeah, well, they're coming inside.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's 5 minutes to the top of the hour, and I think we've beat this topic to death.
Good discussion, though.
Yeah, it was a good discussion. It's just making me more and more want to run for president in 4 years.
Okay.
All right. We're going to do an entire...
I call secret police.
We're gonna run for president.
You're gonna be the head of the FBI then?
We're gonna do
no. I'm gonna be head of like agriculture.
We're gonna do the entire thing from the basement here.
Frank will get this. I'm gonna be Frank's Olympic committee.
We're gonna spend $600, and that's what we're gonna run for president for.
I like this idea. This is a good idea.
It's gonna be an entirely internet based campaign.
We're never going to leave this basement.
We should actually. Yep. I'm actually like.
All right, so like three pallets of beer and two bags of Cheetos will be fine for the year.
No, what I mean is, you know, like if somebody, you know, I don't need to travel.
What if we got a corporate sponsor?
Because then you have to do paperwork.
And
we're going to Papa John's.
If you get any kind of that's an in-kind donation. You can't do that. If you spend or get donations of more than $700 for any campaign, you have to file papers. So I said, screw it. We're going to spend $1 less than whatever the minimum is.
Mm-hmm. So $699.
Yeah. We're just going to do it. And all of that money is going to be spent on a server and maybe a Skype telephone number for people to call. And that's all. If they want to do an interview, hey, call me on my Skype. You can do an interview. I'm not traveling. I'm not spending money. I'll have a live stream on my feed. Matter of fact, we can even do fucking debates. I can Skype into your damn debate.
See, now that's an idea. That's an idea that people that...
But they like it when you show up to talk to them in person. It makes them feel like they're connected to you. Because, you know, when the president the guy that's running for president shows up to shake your hand, he's totally going to remember you in his office.
No, they're going to vote for
Obama me. Obama tried to pull that shit. I'm like, Obama, stop it. Stop it.
No, they're going to vote for me based completely and totally on my ideals and not whose dick I sucked.
And I like the guy, but he tried that shit way too often. I talked to Jenny, who's 42 in Idaho. Don't give a shit about Jenny, who's 42 in Idaho. What's your policy?
Exactly. That's exactly it. This entire campaign is going to be based on my policies.
And your policy should connect with the people, not you.
Exactly. Not whose dick I suck.
Right. Or who you give a handy J. Or,
exactly.
And the Republicans do it too, but he did it pretty bad.
Yeah, he did. It
very explicitly.
He did.
Gratuitous is the word I'm looking for.
Yep.
No, I'm totally on board with this.
Handshaking, the baby kiss.
So we're going to spend the next 2 years planning. And matter of fact, I'm going to formally announce my candidacy when January 21st, 2017.
When they get inaugurated?
The day after. I'm going to give them one day. I'm going to give them one day to go out to the parties that night.
Hilariously, we're going to steal Trump's slogan and say we're going to make America great again. But the difference is...
No. Our slogan is we're going to unfuck America.
Yeah. I like that.
Unfubar America.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, there we go.
And you'll be able to hear it all live here on themix.fm.
We're out of here. Bye.